Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm Mo, and guess what?
Cunt.
This show will contain profanity.
Fuck, really?
Yeah. So anyways, stuff happened on Raw and other stuff.
Yeah, from England.
Yeah, so let's go to WWE.com and see if we can come up with something interesting to talk about.
Yeah.
Let's go look for a list or something. Something that we actually... Something to entertain the unwashed masses with.
Doesn't Damian Sandow do that?
No, lately he hasn't entertained anybody. Let's talk about Damian Sandow.
Homeboy?
Yeah, well that's... So Damian Sandow.
Yes.
They give him this thing where he does the job. I can't remember against who, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah, he's Buff Bagwell.
Yeah. He does the job and then he says, "See, I can do what you tell me to do." And you think it's going to be an angle. Next time you see him, he's playing Sherlock Holmes in England. And he wins his match, I think. But, or maybe he loses it to, I don't care. It doesn't matter. It's like Santino or somebody.
I believe he beats, some fucker on Main Event, right?
Yeah, yeah. Cool. The point is, he's dressed as, they don't bring it up. And he's, and just when it would look like you have a serious angle for him, then you turn around and make him Sherlock Holmes. So in other words, hey, we have an idea for him. And then the next week, Vince or somebody comes up and goes, "Ha ha, pal, I got an idea. Okay, we'll get him dressed as Sherlock Holmes. Ha ha, pal." And somebody says, "But we have an angle we're doing with him." And he'll say, "But is that as funny as this idea? Is there as much money in your idea for him as there is in him being Sherlock Holmes? Much more. But nevertheless, I want to laugh. And let's face it, that's far more important. Let's just do a joke."
That's a great idea, Mr. McMahon.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Fucking stooges.
It's fucking...
That just reeks of Vince, right?
Oh, yeah. Or you know, honestly, I don't know that it reeks of Vince as much as
it reeks.
It reeks, but I think it reeks more of someone wanting to impress Vince.
That's probably it,
This is someone going, what would Vince like? What would make Vince laugh?
Yeah. So again, like I say, so you literally sit there and you take your potential, like I say, whatever storyline you have, you toss it out the door just so that you can have a one-time joke. And I'm not saying you can't come back to it, but you can't come back to it. Like, it's just stupid. You know, you just, we'll drop it because I thought of something funny once. You know, now we'll have nothing for him down the road. You're in the endangered species list.
Yeah, it's... Well, I mean, as much as anybody...
A lot of people will be soon.
On the endangered species list?
Oh, yeah, don't you think?
Well, I mean, we
We'll probably get there later. Let's get there later.
Yeah,
so you actually found something interesting on the website?
No.
No?
Well, I did, actually. The 30 roughest brawlers in WWE history.
Number one?
In wrestling history.
Wrestling history. Number one? Brooklyn.
Yes.
I'm talking, of course, about JTG and...
Brooklyn. Yeah. Well, no, he's the...
he's still the, employed.
He is. Yeah, no, he's the roughest baller.
No, that was MVP.
Oh, right. Who?
Straight up balling.
Oh, yeah.
Which also...
I thought that
would have been Pat Patterson. From Pat Patterson.
Yeah. Balling what?
Straight up balling.
Balling what?
Holy balls!
A scream on your face.
Yeah. Man, we just watched Legends House.
Legends House.
We got,
great show, by the way.
yes.
All the, what did we have? 667,000, and that was at the beginning of April, so 668,000 subscribers to the WWE Network know all about Legends House.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, 66,802.
And two, if you count you and I.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. So, 30 roughest brawlers. Is Brooklyn on the list?
No.
Number 30.
Okay, let's see.
The Brooklyn Brawler.
Get the
seriously,
fuck out of
here. Seriously, I was actually saying that as a joke.
And he actually is.
And he actually is. So, okay. So this list is garbage. Number 29.
Dick the Bruiser.
Dick the Bruiser. See, and that's how you know this list is full of shit, because there's no way that Dick the Bruiser is better than the Brooklyn Brawler.
Yeah, fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, at least he's number 30, so we don't say stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
This guy
and
is
his
not
as Dick.
Good. Yeah, 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 it, but it's bruised. Hmm. Speaking of Pat Patterson...
He will not be on this list.
He could be.
No, he will not be on this list.
You don't think so?
No.
Not from the...
He was a technical wrestler.
No, but he had those, remember the boot camp matches?
Yeah, he was a technical
they
wrestler.
They could go with the boot camp match. George the Animal Steel, number 28.
Okay.
Yes.
I no problem with that.
Number 27, the Turnbuckles.
Hmm. Hmm. But they did the job to him every week.
That's true. Last the Minnesota Wrecking Crew.
Oh, there
you go. Ole and Gene Anderson. Yeah, oh, sorry. No, they got Arn.
And Arn.
Ole and Arn. It's not Ole and Gene. It's Ole and Arn.
Should be Ole and Gene, but it should be Ole and Arn.
Well, too. I guess Ole and Gene were the Andersons.
That's right, yeah.
Right? Not the Minnesota Wrecking Crew.
Yeah.
So, not to be confused with the Minnesota Stretching Crew.
Yeah.
Of Shelton Benjamin and Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, that we never saw here. That was just an OVW.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, okay. So, that's number 26.
Why don't you bring in Shelton Benjamin and put him with Jack Swagger?
Yeah.
Call them. Just call him the Stretching Crew.
Yeah, just the Stretching Crew would be great.
All right, he's still wrestling in Japan.
That's right, yeah.
Not that old.
He's not compared to number 26. Batista.
Oh, I don't
know. No.
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 No. No. At least he's only 26. No. I'm actually surprised he isn't higher with them.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Number 25. Well, you know, you got to be a brawler to guard the galaxy.
That's true.
You know. Number 20, Dick Murdoch.
Mm-hmm.
Surefire Hall of Famer.
Everybody worked with him, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. As part of the Texas Outlaws, just in terms of... I mean, we didn't really see it so much in WWE with Adrian Adonis as the brawl, as the real brawling. I mean, they weren't a technical team by any stretch, but...
No, well, you had the Briscoes were the technical team, and then Adonis and Murdoch were the brawlers.
Were
and that was the contrast, right?
Yeah.
That was great.
But I don't think that was their best work, though.
No,
or his
probably
best
not.
Work, right?
Probably not, no. But the thing is, he's only 25, so we'll see how quickly this
I
list
thought
is
he was
bullshit.
Older than that.
He will see how quickly this list is bullshit with how many people are ranked ahead of him, because he should be right near the top.
He should be, yes. Number 24, the Big Boss Man. Number 23. Really, when you think about brawling, you think about serving hard time. You know, he carried a big stick, a ball and chain, too. If you're looking for trouble, he'd be coming after you. Serving hard time.
Hard time!
Look at how fat he looks in this picture.
Well, that's because he was fat. That's right when he came off Bubba Rogers being... Yeah. Where they wanted him fat to make him look bigger, make him look more intimidating.
Yeah.
You know.
You know, if you've got a mustache...
Feuding with Ole there.
Yes, that's right.
That was his cue before he came in, right?
That is true.
Over in NWA.
Oh!
That's a good one.
That is a good one.
Hacksaw, Jim Duggan.
Number 23?
Sure.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Where on the list does the man he's pictured with fall?
Iron Mike Sharp.
Iron Mike Sharp. He didn't get big. Got big by chopping down trees, not taking anabolic steroids.
That's right.
Great promo. Number 22.
And by the way, I'm sure he was roided up.
Yes.
Sheamus. Well, okay. He's a brawler. He's not awful. He might be a little high.
Well.
He's not
test for that.
He's not R-Truth.
Yeah.
RVD.
RVD Jack Swagger. I think...
Sheamus. No, okay. I mean, he's too high. Okay.
He's
he should
too
be.
High.
He's too high. 29. On the other hand... He should be higher than Batista, too.
In this list, he's
28. I think he's better than Batista.
In this list, he's 28.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. But 22, okay. All right.
21.
21.
Terry Bam Bam Gordy.
Yeah. 40 years old when he died.
Yeah.
40 years old.
40. I would invert. Crazy. I would invert this number.
Yeah, 12? Yeah, yeah, at least. Oh, he was awesome. At least,
yeah, he was a great brawler.
At least.
Yeah, this guy is amazing. And look who he's pinning here. His Miracle Violence Connection partner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, who should also make this list somewhere.
He should definitely.
Though he was more technical. And then that's the thing, Bam Bam was more than just a brawler, too.
Yeah.
Terry Bam
Although
Bam
this
Gordy.
Is, and you know what, shockingly enough, it says this is by WWE.com staff. So I'm very much surprised they know who Terry Bam Bam Gordy is.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah. Well, somebody told him it was the Executioner, and they said, I love that guy.
That guy had some great brawls against The Undertaker. Let's put him on the list.
Yeah.
Number 20.
And the thing about Terry Bam Bam Gordy is he was 40 years old when he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
He was 32 or 33 when he had... probably take too much somas or whatever. He was on plane trip.
Yeah,
he had a brain aneurysm.
Yeah,
and he wasn't the same for the 7 years prior to that. He started wrestling at like 15. If you see this guy at like 25, like he's unreal.
Oh so, yeah.
There's a guy who I'm surprised is only at number 20.
Yeah, dick fuck, Hunter.
Yeah, the thing is, they always portray him as a technical wrestler.
Yes,
but to tell you the truth, he really is more of a brawler.
Well, he's never been a move guy. I mean, the reason that they portrayed him that way is because he always wanted to be compared to Harley.
Yeah.
Right?
Who was a brawler, great brawler, too. Who could also wrestle.
Who could actually wrestle, yeah. That's the whole thing. He's a kind of in that in-between zone, you know? Yeah. A hybrid guy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, whatever. Number 19. Black Jack Mulligan.
Yeah, see, should be higher.
Well, to me, why don't you just put the Black Jacks in?
You could do that, too. You could do that, too. Black Jack Mulligan, he was pretty awesome, so. That's a good one.
I mean, Mulligan more than Lanza.
You know, Mulligan was the star of the two.
That's right. So, but number 18, Rowdy Roddy Piper.
I'm cool with that. He was not a technical wrestler at all.
So. Oh, God, no.
So, yeah, and which is amazing because he was a small guy.
I mean, for years
right?
Well, until he beat Adrian Adonis, I honestly thought his finisher was the thumb to the eye.
Yeah.
17, the APA.
If it's over the Blackjacks, no. But yeah, there are brawlers. I mean, I could see them in the top 30. That's just too high.
That is too high.
You know.
That's like 25 is maybe. Really.
The only guy, though, I'm really, really against on this list so far, though, is Birkin Baller. Seriously.
I know why they did it, though. Jovial comedy shit. I'm against Sheamus and Batista so far.
Well, no, they should be on the list.
No, I don't think they should be on the list.
Well, okay, we'll see who else is there, and then you can tell me who should be there ahead of them.
Tommy Dreamer.
I would not have him on the list at all. He was a brawler, but you'd have to be a good brawler. And Tommy Dreamer, God bless him, was not good.
I like him more than Batista.
Batista's a much better wrestler than Tommy Dreamer.
But a brawler?
Yeah, he's a better brawler,
too.
He's better in every
way. I think Tommy Dreamer is, I would put him above Batista. Here you go. Dr. Death Steve Williams.
Yeah. He's Chris Sammy. Who's that there?
That is Flash, who is so funky.
Yeah. Too Cold Scorpio.
Yeah. Well, just, I think Scorpio at this point.
Yeah, probably.
In WWE picture.
Yeah.
Actually,
I don't think. Is that a WWE picture? I don't think it is.
I think that's a WWE picture.
You think?
I think so.
Maybe. I think it's NWA or whatever. But
it could be.
Yeah.
Could be. I just figured this was like a Sunday Night Heat picture.
Yeah, it could be. I think it's more like, you know, when he and Gordy were teaming and Gold was in the tag team division.
He would have been in with Marcus Alexander Bagwell at that point. I didn't think that they intersected. I thought Bagwell and Scorpio became a team after they'd already left.
Maybe.
So that's why,
But he was definitely in the tag team division still.
I don't think so, no.
Yeah.
He made his debut with that awesome music video.
That's right.
Yes. Number 15, that's too low. He needs to be higher than that on this.
Yeah, he was also just... But the thing is, He was a hybrid, too, though. The thing is, you watch his matches against, like, Kenta Kobashi and that type of thing, and Misawa and all these guys in Japan, and he's not just a brawler. Like, he uses a billion technical wrestling holds, a bunch of different submission holds, a lot of... He never uses the same move twice in a 40-minute match, and he's awesome. So, yeah, he's a brawler, but he's... It's because he's a power guy. You think of him as a brawler, but he's more than that.
Well, how would you put him against Kenta Kobashi?
Gordy... Well, what'd I say? What'd I say?
I thought you said Kenta Kobashi.
No.
Oh.
Kenta Kobashi. Ah, and the thing is, he's
almost as good.
Moving on.
The Dudley Boys.
Seems a little high, but they're definitely brawlers.
They are, but again, and this is one of the things. Tommy Dreamer, by the way, on the list, WWE.com staff, Joey Styles, right?
Yeah.
I was going to put him on there.
That's probably why Dreamer's so high, too.
Dreamer
is he running the website still, or is he just...
I think he is, yeah.
New media.
He's been doing that for years.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Anyway, the Dudley Boys, yeah, but that also put... Dudley Boys, this puts credence to putting in the Blackjacks as opposed to just Mulligan as
yeah,
well.
It really
right?
does, yeah.
So.
Yeah. The difference is the Dudley Boys haven't had a career within WWE that they would recognize outside of you know, their tag team division, whereas Mulligan would have.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Fuck off, WWE.com.
Yes. Number 13, John Cena.
I don't even know what to call John Cena. He's not a technical wrestler, so I guess he's a brawler, but he's not really a brawler like Stan Hansen or Bruiser Brody.
He's a brawler like Hulk Hogan was a brawler.
Hulk Hogan's more of a brawler than him.
I know, but I mean in the same vein.
So...
Anyway, fuck off.
Yeah.
Number 12.
Vader.
Yeah, I got no problem with that.
I do. I think this is...
Should be too low?
Yeah, I think
that's
I
probably
would put
the
Vader
issue.
Higher than
if this. If I'm going to have an issue...
Vader is actually probably one of my top five favorite brawlers of all time.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? You're right. From that perspective, he definitely should be on the list. He should be higher. He's a... is that the Bulldog base?
Yeah.
Hitting there? That's crazy. All right, who's next?
I believe that, and that's a WWF Bulldog.
Yeah, it is.
Because he's got the short hair. They did have that match
on
the Clash of the Champions for the title.
They
that was
match the Clash of Champions.
The Shockmaster's debut.
That's
was
right.
on the same show.
They had the Clash. They had the...
It was...
Tag match. It was him and...
Cheatham the Midget. And Sting against the Masters of the Powerbomb.
Yeah, that's
Vader
right.
And
Vader
Sid.
And Sid.
And they did those awesome vignettes.
Yeah.
And
Exactly. But in maybe the best match of Sid's career. That was an awesome match.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And Bulldog pins him there.
And of course, Vader. The man they call Vader, the Mastodon Vader, who got the nickname in Japan, and the man supposed to be Vader, we never talked about Jim Hellwig, the Ultimate Warrior. Mm-hmm. Was supposed to be Vader.
Yeah. So what does that have to do with what we were talking about?
Just never neglected to mention it in our Warrior retrospective, that he could have been Vader. You know, when he died.
Okay, move on.
I'm just putting that point in.
Just putting it out there, okay.
Because it's a big Van Vader.
Yeah.
That could have been the Ultimate Warrior right there, number 12.
Never could have been Ultimate Warrior.
You don't think so? Dusty Rhodes.
He could easily be in this list. Dusty Rhodes, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Number 11, that's actually where I would put him.
That's about right.
Yep.
Yeah, no problem with that one.
Yeah. Number 10.
Okay.
There you go. There's Harley Race.
Yeah, you can do everything.
Hmm?
You can do everything,
You can do everything, man. It's, you know, I... And the
one
fact
of the reasons
is,
why he was a champion seven times back in the day, they wanted a guy who could literally handle himself in the ring in case he needed to, and Race was one of the toughest guys. He was one of the legit tough guys out there. Who could both wrestle and fight, so. Yeah. Not like John Cena.
You think you know Harley? You don't know Harley.
No.
Number 9.
Speaking of which, they want to bring Ric Flair back.
They do.
Put him on TV.
Yes.
But he has to pass a physical and everything like that first.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, given Jerry Lawler, given the Ultimate Warrior, I mean, that's two now. Right?
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, when it was just Lawler, it was like, okay, you know, this has never happened before. We don't suspect it'll ever happen again. It was Jerry. Fine, right? But now the Warriors, I mean, just as old, right? And, yep. And it hasn't even been.
Well, Warriors not as old as Ric Flair. Ric Flair's
65. No, but yeah, that's right. So I mean,
supposedly in training and was going to wrestle a match in Europe.
Yes. Yeah. But he wants to get down to, what, 235? 225.
He's 230 right now.
He's 230, yes.
One of the things is, you mentioned this, but, I mean, Vince McMahon has said how, you know, he's never going to let an Olympic gold medalist die on his roster.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talk now. They're doing a countdown in TNA to the return in 5 months of Kurt Angle from his surgery.
Yeah.
So there's speculation that WWE's interest in him has cooled based on what happened to the Warrior. That's again has put that in their mind that okay, this could happen to a guy even at that age.
Yes, but the fact, but you're right. So when we're talking about maybe this is cool down on Kurt Angle and TNA doing a countdown to October to Bound for Glory for Kurt Angle's return, right? So that almost assuredly means he's signing with WWE.
Probably because they're fuck ups.
Because they are complete fuck ups.
Yeah.
So number nine is Bork Laser?
He was good.
Brock Lesnar.
Again, here's a guy who is a, you know, all-American wrestler.
Yeah.
But definitely a brawler. Like, despite everything, he's a brawler. His style is that of a brawler.
I am very interested in seeing the eight now. Because this guy's
under contract. I thought he was going to be top five.
This guy's under contract. So the next eight is going to be interesting to me.
Yeah.
And they've already blown their load with the two fucks that they usually put in, right?
You mean with Triple H?
Cena and Hunter, right?
Yeah.
Number eight, Stan Hansen.
Yeah. Excellent. I mean, I expect Hogan to be in this list here. But Stan Hansen, again, only number eight, but yeah. I mean,
like, yeah.
Yeah. But great. But great ball.
Great.
Yeah. Abdullah the Butcher. And look who he's with.
Yeah, and he's
so I thought that was the guy who it was. And I was like, I was like, only number seven?
Abby.
Abby. Because he's sitting there with somebody who I'm expecting we'll see in a bit.
Yeah, with Bruiser Brody.
That's right.
But Huss. But number seven, I mean, I thought when it said number seven, Abdullah the Butcher
seems a little high.
I didn't realize that was his ranking. I thought that was the number of people he'd given hepatitis to.
Did you see that? I mean, the two of the people that were in ROH this last weekend, of course, did their debuts. They also had some tryouts.
Yeah.
Jay Bradley was one of them.
Yes.
And then he's gone from TNA. Another one, Devin Nicholson.
Hannibal. Yes, Hannibal.
Yeah. He's only 32.
Yeah.
When he promoted that show for Bad News Allen here then, that means he was like 24, 25.
Yeah. Like, or something high like as that. A fuck on coke.
Yeah. He's a fuck up, all right.
Number six, The Undertaker. Well, he's the best striker in WWE.
That's interesting because he was a pure brawler who, over the years, incorporated much more wrestling and submission holds and different holds, so he became more than just a brawler, and that's when he got great. But at the beginning of his career, he would have been just a brawler.
Yeah. But okay.
I'm actually surprised again. They only have him at number six. So
that's true.
So there's Bruiser Brody. Okay.
Bruiser Brody, number five. Again, making the next four very interesting.
I'm just going to say, is anybody else from the current roster going to show up? Terry Funk, number four. So we have three slots left. Anybody else from the current roster?
No, but I've got you got to have Mick Foley on there.
Mick Foley, right? Hulk Hogan.
I would assume Foley number one. I don't know. You've got Foley. You got the Steiner brothers.
I wouldn't really, no.
I mean, what about the world's most dangerous dick?
No.
Cunt Shamrock?
No.
What about the Beast? Dan Severn?
No.
What about Hardcore Holly?
I can see him more than some of these guys. The thing is, he's not going to be ahead of Terry Funk, so that's again what's interesting. Yeah, Terry Funk is interesting because if you were to make a list of the top 30 technical wrestlers.
Yeah.
For the first half of his career, he could be in the top five for that.
Yeah.
And then the second half of his career, he could be in top five for being a brawler.
That's
what makes him so amazing.
I'm wondering, use the three spots. You got
Ric Flair?
No. You have Hardcore Legend.
He had some brawls too. And
he did. But Hardcore Legend Mick Foley.
Yeah.
Okay. What about Hardcore Innovator Crash Holly?
No.
Oh.
Abyss.
It says in wrestling history.
Raven. Joey Styles is doing this list. Right?
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
Mick Foley. Yeah.
I feel like as soon as we see it, we're going to go, oh, fuck, of course.
Or we'll be, oh, fuck, are you kidding?
Not a single guy, of course, from, not going to be Sandman.
The Road Warriors. Okay.
That's too high, but they're brawlers. That's too high, but they're brawlers. So, yeah, you know what they're talking about, the toughest brawlers and 30 roughest brawlers in wrestling history? Nobody from Japan, though, which is bullshit. I mean, I guess you could say Stan Hansen, but...
And Bruiser Brody. But and Abdullah really the Butcher. And Terry Funk.
Yeah, that's true, but really nobody from... If you're going to say in wrestling history...
And Brooklyn Brawler. They're going to surprise you, because number two is going to be Taka Michinoku.
That would be awesome.
Cactus Jack.
Why didn't they just say Mick Foley?
Mr. Bang Bang. I know, because Mankind is just a... Mankind's a guy who got thrown off the top of the cage.
Yeah. They're all the same. Even as Dude Love, he was still a
brawler. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, think of the Briscoe Brothers thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then who's number one?
Hulk Hogan. I'm telling you, always was Hulk Hogan.
Steve Austin. You said Hogan. I was about to say, what about Stone Cold Steve Austin?
I knew there was somebody we missed. Okay, I got no problem with that. Again, Stone Cold Steve Austin was a brawler, especially after his neck injury at the Survivor Series.
SummerSlam.
Sorry, and Survivor Series won the belt again.
The Intercontinental belt?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Sorry. Yeah, at the SummerSlam, the injury, he became more of a brawler. He was already somewhat of a brawler as Stone Cold, but he became a pure brawler afterwards. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, stunning Steve Austin was technical. Was not a brawler.
No, hell no. Gosh darn heck no. Well, you want to do the 20 most dangerous wrestlers?
Yeah, let's do it. Why not? I mean, really, what else are we going to talk about? Adam Rose? So tell me about Adam Rose. What do you think?
Well, I mean, again, you got the day after WrestleMania and love to be a part of the show crowd in England.
Yeah.
And so that's why Adam Rose got over. You're going to go back to wherever they're going to go, Wichita, Kansas, or whatever the fuck.
I think people are still sing his song.
A little bit.
It's very singable. It'll be a thing to do.
Maybe. I don't think so.
I don't think it means he's over. It'll be a thing to do.
Well, again, there's a difference, right, between being over and a thing to do. Look at, I mean, is Daniel Bryan over, or is the Yes chant over?
At first, the Yes chant was over, and then Daniel Bryan was over.
Got over, yes. He. But, I mean, Fandango is not over.
And he was never over.
And he was never over, and Fandangoing was over, right?
No.
Yes, it was. No. For a brief period, Fandangoing was, yes, it is.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
It was over that one night.
For a brief period. Yes. One night is a brief period. Usually how long your relationship is.
We were saying this, but last time that Raw was here in town, I was saying how, you know, we went to the show, and the crowd wanted to have a good time, they entertained themselves.
Yes.
Like, and it didn't really matter what was going on, because it was just a bunch of people who got together and decided to have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And that's become really kind of the mentality that we're seeing here.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
You people suck, so we're going to entertain ourselves.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's it. I mean, and it's not, it's on their onus to provide content, some product that engages people enough that they don't have to entertain themselves.
Exactly. Yeah, entertain me, monkeys.
Yeah. So, all right, let's...
Okay. But, I mean, that's what it is. Let's look at... I mean, Adam Rose, the rabbit's good, right? The bunny?
Yeah, which cologne do you think that was?
Which what?
Which cologne do you... Because that wasn't Zack Ryder. Which cologne do you think that was?
I would probably say, like, if I had Ralph Lauren, maybe? Hugo Boss? I don't know which cologne do I think it was?
I think you're Eau de Toilette.
Hmm? It's because I farted. If I had to say, I mean, the spryness, the youthfulness, I'd have to go with Carlos. The youngster.
The youngster. Carlos Colon.
Carlos Colon.
Good. Nice. That's good. All right. 20 most dangerous superstars ever.
20 most dangerous superstars ever.
Yeah.
Number 20, the Brooklyn Brawler.
Mad Dog Vachon.
Mad Dog Vachon.
Why does your Mad Dog sound like your Sandman?
Yo, Mad Dog.
I do it with a French accent.
You, I am Mad Dog.
There you go. You got it. Mad Dog was. I mean, the thing is, he was like 5'8" and like 220 pounds, but one tough motherfucker.
5'7".
Yeah, yeah.
And
is that, does that list his height?
Yeah, right there. 5'7". Despite being 5'7", and he represented Canada in the Olympics in like the '40s.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, there it is, London, 1948 Olympics.
There you go. He was one tough dude, and you know he was related to Luna,
and he only had one foot.
Yeah. Yeah, he was that tough with one
foot. That's
what
makes him dangerous. Yeah. When you can take off your foot and beat someone with it, the way that Big Daddy Cool did to Shawn Michaels, and I mean, that makes him dangerous because those guys were good friends.
Made better enemies.
They made better enemies. Somebody won a house. Next.
Not a national.
Number 19. No, I guess not a year before. Cowboy Bill Watts.
Yeah, I think that's probably legit, too.
He was dangerous. I mean...
Well, because he could book you to lose?
Well, he could book you to lose, but I mean... The thing is, I mean... He was dangerous with his booking. He was dangerous with being an executive. Right? He was...
WCW thought he was dangerous as an executive.
WCW thought he was... Well, you know, Hank Aaron... Thought he was dangerous as an executive.
Yeah.
You know.
Look it up, folks, if you want to know what we're talking about. Look up Bill Watts, Hank Aaron.
Yes.
Just Google that.
If you just type in Cowboy Bill Watts, space, N, Google fills in the rest.
Pretty much. But yeah, he was a big, tough guy back in the day, and a legitimate like football star and everything like that.
Oh, yeah. Oklahoma, I mean... And would lift with Bruno, you know, when they didn't need steroids. They just lifted.
Oh, he's just a big hoss from Oklahoma.
Big hoss.
Like Jack Swagger.
Like Jack Swagger. Steve Blackman.
Fuck off.
What? That man was a lethal weapon. He had nunchucks, remember? Nunchucks and a mullet. Remember?
Yeah.
And he gave Ron Ritchie a black eye. So Ron Ritchie looked like a raccoon. And he was a member of the Karachi Vice. That makes him dangerous, just that.
Oh boy.
If aligning yourself with Abu Wiesel does not make you dangerous, I don't know what does.
Yeah. So Steve Blackman is number 18. Let's move on.
Let's move on. Steve Blackman, we should note, more dangerous than Bill Watts. See, this is that list part.
This, and here's a guy who's probably too low.
Oh, God. Scott Steiner.
Way too low.
Way too low.
Number 17.
If you're a woman or over 40, oh, my God.
As DDP found out.
Yeah.
He was well over 40 back in the 90s.
And a woman.
Yeah.
Wait. No, Kimberly. Or Terry Taylor. He was, yes.
Yeah. Number 16. Steiner. The thing about Steiner was he had an amateur background. He was strong as hell because he was all juiced up. And he was insane because he was all juiced up.
Because he was all juiced up. And I don't know that he was all, well, I mean, I don't know that he was necessarily a happy-go-lucky fella prior to the juice.
No, exactly. Yeah. So, here's an interesting one. And speaking of Big Hoss.
Jack Swagger.
What did they say about him? Jack Swagger, I mean, number 16. I know it, but I didn't think that they would ever acknowledge it.
No.
You know?
The views and opinions of Jack Swagger and Zeb Coulter are controversial. There's no dispute the real American is one of the most dangerous superstars in history. Two-sport athlete set the record for most pins in a season. They do Jerry Briscoe here.
Well, so. You know what? I've said it before, you know... The only, like, the second most dangerous guy behind Brock Lesnar in the locker room in real life probably is Jack Swagger. And you know, which is, they certainly don't book him that way, and he's about to do the job to Adam fucking Rose. But, I mean, of all the guys, if anybody went into you know, MMA,
UFC,
he could have been a contender for the heavyweight title in the UFC.
Yeah.
And he legitimately, he's huge. Like, people don't realize how big he is.
Yeah.
He's huge, and he's extremely athletic, and literally probably is, like, on the regular working roster, he's the guy I'd least want to fight.
So you got Brock Lesnar, you got Jack Swagger, and then what, Hunico?
Well, Sheamus agrees.
Sheamus agrees. Number 15, Hunico. No. Number 15, Ravishing Rick Rude.
Yeah, he was. He had an amateur background as well. He was also strong as hell.
Yeah.
So, legitimately strong. He had that. He had not just the body, but he had that ligament strength.
He also had the street mentality as well. Like, he was street tough.
Yeah, for sure. He was a legitimately tough guy.
Yeah, on the mean streets of Robbinsdale, Minnesota. This guy, I think, is too low.
Way
on
too
the,
low.
On the
way
list.
Too low.
The Iron
legitimate
Sheik.
Fight? He'd be way up there.
Yeah. You can ask him on Saturday when you see him.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to
how
that,
he
man.
Thinks he ranks as the
14th. I'm actually going to bring that up. That's a good idea.
You are the 14th.
I'm
going to
bring
that
up. I'm
going to
meet him on Saturday. He's going to be here in Calgary, and I'm going to meet and greet and talk to him, and not going to be an interview, but I'm going to bring it up, and I'm going to ask him about it.
Yeah.
Because that's actually great, because I agree. He's way too low, as far as I'm concerned. So we'll bring up some of the people that are ahead of him on the list here. Actually, I'll ask him.
Yeah.
And we'll see what he says. I mean, and then I'll come on the show, and I'll tell you what he said.
Yeah.
And Anushika,
tell me what he said. But I think that
he's who's next? It was I say 14 is that Anushika? Who's number 13? And
Goldberg said who's next?
Be hilarious. It was Goldberg and Bob Backlund. Fucking Bob Backlund. I love Bob Backlund. He was so nice. He let me have the title from him. But Bob Backlund beat me in a fight. I'm a fucking Bob Backlund.
I gotta tell you though. That should be reversed because Iron Sheik beat Bob Backlund.
That's right.
See?
Fucking right.
So number 12.
You know, and you know who's going to be on this list? Dr. Destiny was way too low.
With the same picture.
Fuck off. Probably the strongest man in the world, legit. Incredibly fast
Mark Henry?
And quick.
I think Mark
at the time. No, Mark Henry's not on there. But at the time, Dr. Destiny Williams, amateur background, incredible athlete, quick as hell. Stronger than anybody else in the planet, except for probably Doug Furness at this time.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be like 1-2 for like the strongest guys in wrestling easily.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, just the idea that he's only number 12, that's ridiculous. I know he lost Brawl for All, but that was, fuck, whatever.
Yeah, Bart Gunn should be number 11 then.
No, yeah, well, that's bullshit. Because you know what, the thing is, Bart Gunn might make the list, but the thing about him is, yeah, okay, he lost to him, but it was towards the end of his career and it was a lucky shot.
Yeah.
You know,
And Strangler Lewis. Sorry, go over. Sorry,
you
want to go to...
You know who else is going to be on this list? Is another guy who I'm expecting, a very quiet gentleman, very walk softly, carries a big stick.
Holly?
Who's been calling us and wants to come on the show. He's something to say to me. He texted me.
Really? Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay, well, we'll get him on after.
I'm expecting
we'll
him to be
on
this list.
We'll
see
think
on
so.
List.
I am not expecting him to be on this
I think
list.
He will be, because, you know...
Number 11 is Ed Strangler Lewis.
Okay. Definitely.
Definitely. That's definitely. Lou Fez should be on this
I wonder
list,
if,
too.
I wonder if Inoki will be on this. The Undertaker, fuck off!
Undertaker number 10.
Fuck off!
Where's Hunter in this list?
Fuck off!
Harley Race is number 9.
Fuck off! Harley Race is too low.
Yeah, Harley Race.
Undertaker?
What do you think about Undertaker being on the list?
Fuck off.
You don't think Undertaker's dangerous?
Not like that.
No?
Not like that. Compared to, like, the average guy in the street? Hell yeah. Compared
he
to the toughest guy.
Rep, though. I mean, but, I mean... You look
yeah,
at,
he was a legit biker, but you know what?
No, not even a legit biker, but when you look at... I ain't, you know... I'm not dropping the title to Stone Cold at WrestleMania 14.
That was Shawn Michaels.
You could
beat up Shawn Michaels in a legit...
And Scumpy.
I mean, come on. That was, you know...
I'm just saying... That's how he got the rep. That's why he's on the list.
Yeah.
No. I see him on the list. I don't know, number 10. I mean, and politically, I see why he's on that list. But I mean,
I mean, over Iron Sheik, but please.
No, I know. Luthes. Okay, there you go. Luthes. Okay. That's is Bruno on this list then?
Bruno was not on the list of the last one, greatest brawlers.
No,
that's ridiculous. Because he was a brawler, you know, but ten years, he should have been number one.
But I mean, Bruno being on the list instead of, say, like Tommy Dreamer, like, I mean, so you understand it.
honestly, he should have been number one.
Yeah,
he should have been the number one.
You're right.
It's ridiculous.
And, you're. But I mean, number one was great.
Well, yeah, but he should have been number two then.
Yeah.
But come on, because actual best brawler, I mean,
yeah.
That's what he was.
Let's see who number seven most dangerous is, like Ken Shamrock. Dan the Beast Sever.
Yeah, I just expected him to be on this list, but now I'm thinking you're right. I'm thinking that our guest won't be on this list, because there's no way you could say he's more dangerous than Dan Severn.
That's
in fact,
true.
It's hard to believe there's anybody you could say is more dangerous than Dan Severn.
The world's most dangerous dick.
Was not actually as dangerous as Dan Severn. They fought. Dan Severn was better. I mean, no, yeah, he got caught once.
He didn't. I saw it on Raw.
Oh. I'm sorry. Fuck.
Apology accepted. Number six, the badass, Billy Gunn. No, Jack Briscoe.
Okay, yeah, definitely. Definitely. Jack Briscoe, legit.
I already know who's number one, I think.
Jack Briscoe, like, greatest, like, maybe the greatest amateur wrestler to ever come in wrestling, and that includes Kurt Angle.
Yes. Here's number five, Haku.
Who I actually thought could have been number one.
That's a rep.
Because that's his rep.
Yeah.
And when you're talking tough, yeah, okay, you're talking tough, like, in a fight, but they're talking dangerous. What makes him beyond just the regular dangerous, like the beyond just the tough?
What made him dangerous
is that he would the level of violence he would go to win a fight is pretty much like he'll literally rip your eyes out and blind you for life and you don't give a fuck.
And a reverse thrust kick.
Oh,
who's number four?
Just a jobber.
I don't think a jobber, maybe, or the genius.
Same thing.
All right, the world's most dangerous dick is number four. He's the fourth most dangerous man. Mm-hmm. The world's fourth most dangerous man.
Mm-hmm.
Ken Shamrock. I already know. I told you. I already know who number one is.
Okay.
So I'll gloat when I get there. Kurt Angle.
Kurt Angle. Three. Okay. So number one. Then who was it that he had that moment with?
Danny Hodge. Number two.
Oh. Well, Danny Hodge deserves to be up really high.
He does.
Crazy. Like, Danny Hodge, if you're not familiar with him, great amateur wrestler, but he was one of the great top five junior heavyweights of all time. You know, light heavyweight?
Yeah.
Famous mostly for his unbelievable
grip strength.
Yeah. Like, he could, and with just his hands there, he could rip a phone book in half. Like, without having to use, with just being able to use just a wrist.
Yeah.
Right, without having to use his whole arms or anything. Like, it was just physically, his grip strength was
legendary. Number one. Well, Lesnar hasn't been shown yet, has he?
No. And yeah, I guess,
Yeah.
I mean, if Brock Lesnar fought Ken Shamrock in a fight, even in their prime, I would take Lesnar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, really, there's two people that are sadly omissed on this list, and that shows that it's not a shoot. But, really, when you think of the two most dangerous wrestlers of all time, you think of Jimmy Snuka and Chris Benoit.
Oh.
You talk about the level of violence Haku would go to.
The thing about Lesnar is he was UFC heavyweight champ. But he's not going to go down as an all-time great because people figure out eventually, and they know this about him, he hated to be punched in the face. Once they figured that out, he was vulnerable. And so he would lose to most top heavyweights. But still, he's up there. He's definitely up there. I think he could take me. Maybe. Let's Raw. Let's talk about, speaking of big jacked-up fuckers.
Mantar.
Big E.
Langston.
Just Big E.
Langston.
No, his name was Big E.
Langston?
Took on Ryback.
Langston.
in a beat the clock, the big guy.
In the beat my cock match. That was shit.
To beat your cock?
To beat my cock.
That's short, huh?
Short and shit.
It was shit, but here's the problem. I was like, I'm watching this, I'm like, this is everything that's wrong with WWE right now. Like, literally, you have... What it should be is people respect Ryback's strength, and they respect Langston's strength, and we should be curious to find out who's stronger. So this is a match that shouldn't be set up in a beat-the-clock match, and this is a match where they should be staring at each other, and they should be coming together, and they should do a test of strength, and the crowd should be into it and selling it. If it was good wrestling, good booking, that should work.
And the chain, the 15-foot chain, Big E snapped it. Ryback had to hold it for Langston to break it. That's what it is. It's the Battle of the Behemoths,
it's just
right?
Big E. There's no Langston.
Langston.
If they were a tag team, they would be Big E Ryback. One guy doesn't have a first name, the other guy doesn't have a last name.
Big E back?
Big E back!
They're finished.
You said Big E back, right?
Yeah. Why, what else would I say? Piggyback. And their finishing maneuver could be like a reverse, like, electric chair.
Oh, yeah. I love it. That's fucking great. Oh, that's funny shit. So anyways, yeah. But that's me. I'm watching this. I'm like,
that's
oh,
my
man.
New favorite tag team, and it doesn't even exist.
Yet. Because we know they listen.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all I had to say about that. Hey, what about what they're doing with Daniel Bryan?
Who?
You know.
No.
Goatface.
I don't remember him.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the gimmick with Daniel Bryan certainly is that I mean, he obviously had surgery there in England. They bait and switched him, right? He's going to be there, and then it was Stefani showing how much coordination Daniel Bryan actually really has by going to the ring and pointing in a coordinated effort, because that was not.
No.
At first I thought she's being a heel. She's being like a vulnerable heel. And then like 30 seconds into it, I'm like, no, she's really trying here.
Yep.
Awful. Awful. But I mean, the fucking thing is with the fucking shit is that it is
the what?
The fucking thing with the fucking shit is
oh,
that
back.
It really is bad for Brian. I mean, a great talent. He peaked at Mania. He got put into a Kane thing. Now he's hurt. I mean, the whole thing is he's coming back on Raw. They're like, if you can't compete, I'm going to fucking surrender you're going to have to surrender the title. And he's like, I'll be back. And there you go. I mean, that's...
Well, now the talk is that he won't actually be ready for Money in the Bank. And SummerSlam might be worst case scenario.
Yeah.
So it's possible that like, originally it was, okay, well, he'll be back for Money in the Bank. So it's just one pay-per-view we have to go without him.
Yeah.
Well, now it's two.
Yeah, so what do you do?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, right?
I mean... When was the last time he defended the title? Because he's only got 30 days to do that.
Well, I mean, but that's not true anymore. I mean, that used to be the case, but then we saw Dean Ambrose go 342 days without defending the title.
That's true.
So that changed the rules, obviously.
Well, maybe those are the U.S. title rules. You see.
You can only defend them in the continental United States.
Yes, the continental United States. I don't know. I just look at what do you do with the belt then? I mean,
I just think you do what I mean. If you're going to go that long, I think you do what they do in the UFC. You're gonna you just have an interim champion.
That's what we need. We need two belts.
If only we could figure out a fucking way.
If only there was a way.
Yeah. No. But I mean, yeah. I mean, I would like you've done that before. GSP is the interim champion, and he waits till. You know, what's his name comes back and has the actual title, and then they have a unification match, and the winner is the undisputed champ. And you've seen it in boxing, and there's no reason you can't
do it in WWE. In all of this, you know who I really feel bad for in this whole Daniel Bryan situation, because they're now they're scheduled to be hurt and out of action is Eric Young. I assume he's out
but
now.
But nobody will see, because the rating, it drew a .6. His last title.
Yes, yes.
Or his last match against MVP.
Who?
MVP. Oh. Straight up. Falling.
Oh, right, right. Most Valuable Patterson. Mm-hmm. But I think, I'm at a loss as to what the fuck you even do. I mean, you strip him of the belt, okay. Who fucking gets it?
Who do you give it to is the problem, yeah.
Yeah.
It really is. It'd have to be Kane. Is it the way everything is.
But is it a draw then? It ain't a briefcase.
Yeah, I know.
It's your Mummy is a Skank ladder match.
Yeah.
With the belt. Maybe you do two. Here's the deal. You have qualifying matches. This is okay. If you're going to strip, tell us what I do. You have qualifying matches. You have eight qualifying matches.
Well, not
strip,
interim.
No, I strip them. Because that's the history of it. I strip
sick
them.
Freak.
I know. I don't want to see the goat. But you do that. You have eight.
I want to see if he has a beard everywhere, do you?
Eight qualifying matches.
Uh-huh.
The winners get in the title Money in the Bank ladder match. The title ladder match.
Okay.
The loser gets in the Money in the Bank for the briefcase.
Works for me.
And then you have your two ladder matches.
Yep.
You know, you have the matches leading up on Raw, much like I'm watching 1994 Raw, and they just had the King of the Ring stuff in that era.
I do the same thing, except for I make it for the interim title.
Yeah. I mean,
I do the same thing, except for
I make see, either way, I mean, either way, I think our idea is the same, in that Daniel Bryan wrestles at SummerSlam for whoever the champion is, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So
at the end of the day, that's a really, really good idea. So
what do you think they'll do?
Not that.
Well, okay, but in this scenario, to take it one step further, or regardless of what they fucking do, who do you give the belt to?
I don't
know. Because fucking Orton sucks.
No.
Fucking Kane sucks.
Yeah.
Fucking Cena sucks.
Yeah.
Fucking Sheamus.
I can definitely see Cena, but yeah, that sucks. Bray Wyatt is the guy, but no.
But it's just, the timing isn't right.
Timing isn't right for anybody in Evolution.
No.
Bray Wyatt is, you know, I mean, it's obviously the most over babyface in the company, but still.
You know what I do? Ha ha. Ha ha. Armando. Alejandro. Ha ha. Estrada. Here's what I do. Mm-hmm. My scenario. Because I'm awesome.
Like The Miz.
No, I'm not a cock-sucking motherfucker.
Hmm. And they want to bring back Ric Flair, remember? But they want to put him with... He wants to go
Ric Flair wants to manage Dolph Ziggler, because Dolph Ziggler is good.
Yeah, he's like, Dolph Ziggler could be a star. And so they're like, well, we don't want you with Dolph Ziggler. We want somebody who we can see as being a top baby face. Yeah. Somebody we can push to the top. Somebody with that potential. So we want to put you back with The Miz.
Yeah.
So fuck you, WWE.
And then we're going to give you guys an intercontinental title run against Sheamus.
Fuck you, WWE.
Fuck you, cocksuckers. Anyway, what I do, you've got your matches, and you've got the guys that go into the Money in the Bank, and you could put all the guys. You could put Bray Wyatt. You could put John Cena, you know, in there. You could put Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
You could put all three of the Shield, if you want,
sure. Yeah.
In there, right? Because then you could play that numbers advantage of the Shield, but how do they get along? Mm-hmm. Whatever, right? And Hunter can use that to say,
hey, they're all not a Bray unit, Wyatt right? Family in there, too.
I wouldn't put those two in. But
I want a 73-man Money in the Bank match.
Yes, for the Andre the Giant trophy. But I think, because Andre the Giant, known for his ladder matches, have the Shawn Michaels trophy. And you just put it on a small block of wood.
Stumpy.
Stumpy. Anyway, Antonio Cesaro also qualifies for the Money in the Bank match.
Yeah.
Yes. The day of the event, or during the event, Antonio Cesaro is found in the back, unconscious, knocked out, whatever.
Uh-huh.
Heyman's got to do something. His client is out.
Yeah.
His client takes his place.
Uh-huh.
Brock Lesnar.
Uh-huh.
Brock Lesnar wins the ladder match, is the champion, fights Daniel Bryan. Then you've got the reveal of him doing the Cesaro thing. You've got him and Cesaro. Turning, and you're moving
don't
on.
Don't like it at all.
Just trying to think of... But who do you give the fucking belt to? Brock Lesnar, to me, is the best guy to give the belt to.
He's not, because Brock Lesnar shouldn't lose. And Daniel Bryan shouldn't lose. So you can't, got to keep them apart. For a long time.
Yeah, I get that, but...
So that's why I don't like that.
There's realities in terms of... They don't necessarily with
but the way... How about Cesaro gets it? And that's what causes Lesnar to attack him later. And then Heyman has to make a choice.
It just seems too soon.
For him to get it?
Yeah, for
Cesaro. It would be too soon, I would agree with you. It's too soon for him to beat Daniel Bryan straight up. It's not too soon for him to get it in a Money in the Bank ladder match and then lose it to Bryan. That's fine.
Yeah, I guess he could win a ladder match. I mean, I thought that he would...
The obvious other choice is Christian. I mean, that's just that. I mean, obvious.
Yeah. Christian would be so obvious. Mm-hmm. Or RVD.
Yay. All right. But boy, I can tell you this. Dolph Ziggler. Because, yeah, we're talking about... They're fucking that. You know, we watched... Last week when I was here, 2 weeks ago, actually, we watched... Jobs on Netflix, and that was strange because we thought that was a movie about Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
Turned out it was that Steve Jobs guy.
Yeah,
who'd he ever beat? Yeah,
Microsoft.
Yeah, fucking
Bill Gates,
richest man in the world. He beat him.
Yeah,
good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, so yeah, I mean Dolph Ziggler. But everything they're doing with Dolph Ziggler, like, had the big reaction, and then. The getting screwed out of winning and having a draw with Mark Henry.
Yeah.
Remember I said to you, the crowd's going to get behind him and he's going to be the next Daniel Bryan a year from now?
Mm-hmm.
I really think that's going to happen whether they want it to or not. I still see that happening. I still believe that's going to be it. He'll be their next chosen one for the chase. So. The crowd's choice. He'll be the crowd's choice for the chase.
I think Cesaro is the chosen one.
No.
I don't think it's Ziggler.
Ziggler is the crowd's choice and chosen one for the chase.
Ziggler will be...
The only other guy it could be is Wade Barrett.
Yeah, who played Babyface on SmackDown, right?
They're like, England, they're like, why fucking fight it?
Yeah. Well, they just... And that's the funny part, is it? And that's the difficult thing about it. And you said you had a question about crowd participation, I think. So we might as well... Do you have it handy?
I don't have it handy. I can paraphrase it for him. And I'm sorry, I don't remember who it is. And I could lie to you and say I'll look it up and say it next week, but I won't.
No, I won't.
No, but yeah, I mean, just is the... Is the crowd, something along the lines of, is the crowd hijacking the show becoming too much?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is the crowd hijacking the shows too often? So, I mean, I think you have to keep in mind about that question is it's not new.
No.
I mean, ECW crowds would hijack the show and take them over,
sure.
Right?
The Impact Zone, right?
The Impact Zone was famous for it, you know, which is why they had to get the fuck out of there.
Well, which is why they thought they had to get the fuck out of there. That's not actually why they had to get the fuck out of there.
Well, it didn't hurt, or didn't help. But, yeah, I mean, just the crowd participation. I mean, like I said, we already mentioned it. How here in Calgary, the crowd was just entertaining themselves.
Tabor Corn.
Yeah. I mean, they've always done it. It's not new. Just because they're doing it in London now, it's not new. Maybe you're not getting the reaction you want to get. Again, the crowd's going to go to... It's their job to entertain the crowd to the point where they don't have to entertain themselves.
That's
they
true.
Don't cheer for a fucking Bray Wyatt when he's supposed to be a heel. But the whole thing is that the crowd is going to cheer for whoever they think is most talented and whoever entertains them the most. They don't care about heel or babyface anymore. They're going to cheer for who is the most talented and who is the most entertaining. That's why Bray Wyatt is getting cheers. And that's why John Cena, who's lame... is not entertaining and tries to be and cuts those horrible... Like, the Usos have never cut a worse promo than we had to cut it with John Cena. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they never come across worse than when they were getting the rub from John Cena.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is that because he doesn't entertain us most of the time, you know, and Bray Wyatt entertains and you know, fucking... What's his name? Bad News Barrett.
Yes.
Entertains us. It's entertaining. It's funny.
Yeah.
So that's why we're going to cheer for him, even if he's supposed to be a heel and saying nasty things. But they're funny and they're entertaining. And Langston doesn't entertain us because he's just a guy who goes out there and wrestles and is big and strong.
Yeah. Does nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's...
You know, that's why Paige doesn't get any fucking reaction, because you haven't showed us. I mean, that's why Alicia Fox That was supposed to be heel stuff. I'm like, oh, she's going to get over as a babyface doing what she did at the end there.
Yeah.
Because she's showing personality.
Yeah.
They don't even realize it. They think she's being this huge heel.
Yeah.
And, you know, setting up this match against Paige. No, she's going to be the babyface because she's actually got a personality. You don't know like who Paige is.
Whiz.
Yes.
She's got personality.
Personality.
I mean, yeah, Paige, no one knows who the fuck Paige is. I mean, NXT people got behind her.
Because they did a better job of establishing the character.
Same as Emma, right? I mean, it all got over organically down there, right? And so now they're going, yeah, this is great. I mean, so Bo Dallas will be an interesting guy to see how that gets over.
Yeah, that'll be very interesting. The thing about Bo Dallas is that they put him on SmackDown because I think they didn't trust, A, the crowd reaction.
That's right.
And B, they didn't trust his live action wrestling, him not to fuck it up. They didn't trust, like, just everything. I think they wanted control, which is why they debut him on SmackDown.
Yeah.
You know, for the crowd and the editing and everything.
Yeah, but see, the same thing with Hulk Hogan.
They have so little trust in Hulk Hogan that they put him on SmackDown.
It's with not Jimmy Hart.
It's not to get ratings. It's because he's fucked up so many times his promos now.
Yeah.
That it's like, okay, we need to be able to edit this. And you know what a great job they do editing his fucked up promos. It comes across smooth.
Smooth like silk. I mean, and it's to the point where he was, they had to edit, I guess, so that we haven't seen it yet on SmackDown, because it was from, where was SmackDown? Paris?
No, it's also England.
Was it England as well? Okay, so SmackDown in England with Hogan on there to hype up that the network is coming to England soon, right?
Yeah.
And it'll be here before we know it. I mean, it'll be here in the next 6 months in England, right?
Yeah.
So, to there. And I mean, the thing was, is when he was talking about it, and he talked about Cesaro winning the Battle Royal at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that Cesaro won the coveted Samovar Trophy in the Royal Albert Hall. That's how out of it Hulk Hogan is.
Well, that's because you wrote that line for him.
That's true.
He's secretly a writer.
I secretly am. You know those segments that are good? That's me. I don't write much.
All right, so we got something we want to do, a gimmick on the show. Yeah. Explain what happened.
The producer, for my birthday, bought me Topps 2014 WWE trading cards. And she forgot to give them to me until yesterday. And I thought, well, fuck. We're going to open these live on the air.
That's right. So there's four cards in each one of these packs.
Yeah, four cards. They have four packs. So you got two, I got two.
Yeah. So go ahead. Let's hope we get a rarity. Like Dolph Ziggler winning a match.
Okay. What do I got? Well, I'm not going to show you. Don't look.
Okay.
The first one.
Ooh.
Ready?
Yeah.
This is a collector's item. Ezekiel Jackson.
Ezekiel Jackson. That's awesome. Holy shit on a stick. Ezekiel Jackson, who in a recent interview, his first interview out, said, you know, I think I could have had a good match with anybody. Because I was passionate, and if they're passionate, we could have had a good match with anybody.
Had a great match with the great Khali.
No, he didn't.
No.
But he lifted him up. That was impressive.
That was impressive.
But he couldn't have had a good match with anybody.
No.
Bret Hart couldn't have had a good match with this guy.
You know who could have, though? Is Tom McGee. Let me read the back.
Okay.
If potential could be measured in dollars, then Ezekiel Jackson would be rich. Oh, this is from the pen of Jim Ross, it says. If potential could be measured in dollars, then Ezekiel Jackson would be rich. Okay, this is normally followed by Jim Ross writing, but you don't pay the bills with potential.
Yes.
It's a famous line of Jim Ross.
Yes, exactly.
The strong man out of Guyanese. Guyanese? Decent and... What? The strongman, of Guyanese descent, and a graduate of the University of Buffalo, so he's stupid, has all the tools in the toolbox to get to the promised land. However, the injury bug has been an issue with what seems to be a promising career. With good health, Ezekiel Jackson can certainly make a huge impact. And I would suspect...
He has a better chance of being on Impact?
That he will be huge at Impact. It's card number 67.
Huh, you want mine?
Yeah. Open the first one of yours.
William Regal.
William Regal. They're staple mates.
That's true.
Do we have Kozlov to make the set?
So here's what it says. This is number 95, by the way. This is, coincidentally,
From the pen of Jim Ross.
So actually all of these are.
Yeah. I recall doing Mr. Regal's first ever TV interview in the U.S. when we were both in WCW. He is a formerly trained, beginning at the age of 15, grappling submission aficionado who is one of the most talented and dangerous men I've ever been around. A credit to the profession and a great friend, William is also highly underrated as a TV broadcaster. And on one of every four episodes of NXT, he'll announce for you.
Yes. William Regal, though, is highly underrated, dangerous. Not one of the 20 dangerous.
One of the top 20. That'd be ridiculous.
Now I've got Chris Jericho. Card number 11.
Chris Jericho.
Yeah, Chris Jericho.
Chris Jericho. Well, fuck you. I got Zeb Coulter.
Really? Nice. From the pen of Jim Ross. One of my all-time favorites, a true Renaissance man, the Canadian, is lead vocalist for the band Fozzy, and a successful author. I vividly remember lunching in Tampa with the future Hall of Famer and Jerry Briscoe while on the recruiting trail. Chris signed, and everyone involved won. What is Zeke saying? So we had Zeke, and now we have Zeb.
We had Zeep and Zep. You don't want to actually read this, do you?
No, it's fine.
It's not that interesting.
No. We'll read the shitty ones.
Yeah, that one was. It's not interesting. AJ. AJ Lee.
AJ Lee.
So we won't read that one.
AJ Punk.
Yeah.
AJ Brooks.
AJ Brooks.
AJ
yeah.
Brooks.
Yeah.
R-Truth.
Oh, let's hear from Montana.
Black, white.
Get rowdy.
Without question, R-Truth has marketable charisma and the it factor. Not to mention impressive skills with the mic as a rapper.
And you know who he reminds me of? Orlando Jordan.
Yeah, because he is going to be a star. However, I'd suggest that no one ever overlooked this man's toughness and resilience. Growing up a young R-Truth wasn't easy. Well, I guess not, if your name's R-Truth. But this athlete has overcome adversity and is seemingly on the cusp of big things.
Seemingly.
That was from Jim Ross. And this is also, as I said, this is a 2014.
Yeah, but that was written in 2008. So I got Dolph motherfucking Ziggler.
Really?
Yeah, and so I actually do want to hear what Dolph Ziggler...
What Jim Ross says
about Dolph Ziggler. He says, I vividly remember when Jerry Briscoe brought us Dolph fresh from Kent State University's wrestling team.
From what state?
Kent.
Oh.
Kent.
Oh. State?
Kent State.
Huh.
University. Oh. Wrestling team. It's an understatement to say that it was a big get for WWE... Ziggler has HBK-like enthusiasm or athleticism, but a keen sense of humor. Don't be surprised if Ziggler wins any WWE title available to him while also mastering stand-up comedy.
Yes.
So I asked for a rarity like Dolph Ziggler winning a match. Instead, I just got him looking like he's giving somebody a blowjob. Check it out.
Oh, yeah.
Can we make that the show picture? You already have one picked.
No, I haven't got one picked, so the Dolph blowjob will do. Okay.
Looks like Dolph Ziggler is gearing up to give somebody a blowjob.
Wow. My last one, Santino Marella. We won't read his.
Fuck no.
Okay, let's open this next packet here.
We can't possibly do that good. Yeah. You got somebody you're proud of?
Ooh, I got a good one.
You got a good one to open?
I do.
Wow.
Here we go. Josh Matthews.
Holy fuck. Frame it.
This is a Josh Matthews rookie card.
What does it say on the back there?
Actually. A former Tough Enough competitor who has made a smooth transition... From the ring to the broadcast booth. That's true. He's not really good at either. Whether it be doing play-by-play or interviewing superstars, two distinctively different skill sets, Jim notes here.
Oh, yeah.
Josh has become a valued fixture in WWE. Josh is a wardrobe horse who enjoys being a bachelor.
In other words, he's a male slut.
That's important.
How apparently. Boring is your career when that has to... All right, let's... I got Heath Slater.
Oh, that's fucking money.
You stole my line, you fucker. I was going to put that at the end, that he says, yeah, the red-headed graduate of West University... West Virginia. Virginia.
Mountain Mama.
University has a distinctive upside, especially in one-on-one competition. Slater is a charismatic athlete who has demonstrated on numerous occasions they connect with the WWE Universe. Athletes like Slater with big personalities aren't easy to find. They're fucking money.
They're fucking money.
Straight from the desk of Jim Ross.
They're fucking trash. All right. Now, the best card of the bunch, of probably that we'll get all... And the legitimately best card, not the Zeke.
Okay.
The
I got a pretty good one.
Wonder of the World.
That's pretty fucking good.
Andre the Giant.
That's fucking good.
And so from the pen... Of Jim Ross. First time I ever met Andre was when I officiated a battle royal that Andre won. At the time, I'd never seen an athlete like Andre, and I certainly expect to never see another one in my lifetime. 40 years later, nothing has changed. FYI, Andre won the battle royal by drop-kicking his opponent over the top rope.
Oh, shit. Really? I actually do believe that.
Yeah.
So I got Drew McIntyre.
Well, you got all of 3MB?
Almost. Well, I got the two that I care about.
Oh.
The right. Scotsman is seemingly every tool one needs to become a main eventer in WWE. Size, athleticism, and toughness abound with McIntyre. Like many great stars before him, Drew simply needs the proverbial light to go on one day, and then look out. I love McIntyre's upside and potential. So the important thing is that they keep him in that gimmick.
Mark,
what do you got?
Well, if we're going to go with great giants... Let's go with the great Khali.
Holy fuck. The fact that he's even beside Andre in a pack is offensive.
I know.
So, I know. Yeah, you won't read from the
bed. I'm not going to read about him.
I got Cesaro here.
Nice.
Should we read about him? No. Throw back to another... Oh. What do you got? It's your last one.
Cody Rhodes.
Okay. So I got the Junkyard Dog.
Nice.
And he's giving this the abdominal stretch here. To Bob, Cowboy Bob Orton.
Bob Orton.
It's a fucking awesome picture.
You know, it would have been a better picture of him doing the juke.
That would have been good. Thump. The WWE Hall of Famer is from the... This is from the desk or the pen of Jay Rose.
Jay Rose?
Yeah.
The WWE... Not Adam Rose?
Jay.
Jay. Not Silent Bob.
Jay. The WWE Hall of Famer was the biggest star.
Rose.
The WWE
He's
Hall of
Famer. He's my buddy. Buddy Rose.
Oh. Well, don't be a lover. Be a Buddy Rose.
Do you think Adam Rose could promote the blowaway diet?
That would be awesome. All right, the WWE Hall of Famer was the biggest star ever in the Mid-South Wrestling Territory. The former college and NFL lineman was loaded with charisma and had immense strength. Dog led the way for other African-American performers within the sports entertainment business, earning his way to main event stardom. Like and couldn't work.
Like Ezekiel Jackson.
Yeah. R-Truth.
On R-Truth. Mm-hmm. That was fun.
Yeah.
Hey, did you hear what the new proposed DVDs that WWE
I love this. Let's get to it.
Okay, so the WWE sent out an email saying, hey, would you buy these fucking DVDs?
Okay, and then we're going to do this because I also got that Twitter question.
Yeah, Okay, well, here, we'll just do this first. A 3-disc documentary revealing the real lives of WWE talent, similar to the Daniel Bryan thing on the network. No, I wouldn't buy that.
Mm-hmm.
Long-form biographies on the professional and personal lives of talent, described as similar to ESPN's 30 for 30.
Yep.
Maybe. Here's the interesting one. WWE Reveals, an in-depth look at the controversial moments in WWE history. Topics include Jerry Lawler versus Andy Kaufman.
Oh, in WWE history, that's one of the most controversial moments. In WWE history.
The Curtain Call.
Okay.
Okay. Mike Tyson leaving prison after a rape conviction to help kickstart Steve Austin.
Mm-hmm. Well, he'd already had some fights by then.
Yes. David Stossel being slapped by Dr. D. Sorry, John Stossel.
John Stossel, yeah. People okay. are probably... I would say people listening to this, many of them aren't even familiar with that.
That's true. Well, okay, it was on 2020.
Yeah.
John Stossel doing a thing on wrestling. It's when WWE is starting to pick up some steam. What, about 84? Just
about
before Mania,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
84, it's picking up some steam. And John, he's asking, is wrestling fake? And Dr. D, Dave Schultz, slaps him and draws blood.
Yeah. I mean, who was Dr. D. David Schultz was one of Hulk Hogan's best friends.
Yeah.
Had main evented with him, was a main event heel.
Flew on the plane with him, injected him with steroids many times. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did coke with him.
Did great here in Stampede Wrestling, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and he's a bounty hunter.
With a lot of other people. Now he is legitimately.
Yeah. So, I mean, but no, he's great. Yeah, did coke with a lot of people, is that what you said?
Yeah.
So, anyway, so that was it. He slapped him, so he had to get fired. As a scapegoat, and he's always contended that
yeah, but the guy was tough. Didn't the guy have some sort? He had besides just bleeding, he had some sort of.
Like, it was his ear. It cut through his ear.
I think
yeah,
it was his eardrum that popped or something.
Yeah, he said he's going to ask if it's fake, and I want you to beat the. I want you to hit him to show him it's not. That's what he's always contended.
Yeah.
Did the hit, and it's almost like a setup that went awry, right? Yeah. That wasn't supposed to happen. Obviously, damage, but...
Hulk Hogan tried to prove to Meltzer. What, Richard Meltzer.
Richard Dave Meltzer. No, Richard Meltzer, yeah.
Richard Meltzer on Saturday Night Live that it wasn't wrestling wasn't fake.
He put him to sleep with
a sleeper hold. And he suffered injury from the sleeper hold and won a lawsuit from that.
Still remember at WrestleMania 5, the Mega Powers Explode match, and he put him in a sleeper hold. He goes, that'll put your lights on in a hurry. And Jesse goes, yeah, just ask Richard Meltzer.
That's right.
So we said, another possible topic about controversy, the XFL.
Mm-hmm.
We've all been waiting for the XFL DVD. It's almost here.
If they gave us like a real in-depth one, that would be great. Yeah. There was an article recently, I think it was a Bleacher Report or something like that, on the XFL. Fuck, was it great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I saved this one for last. The passing of Owen Hart.
Ooh, I wouldn't even touch that.
That's a topic.
Yeah, they should have stopped the show.
That's the controversy. Yeah.
Well, I don't want that on there.
Well, no, this would be a standalone DVD on the passing of Owen Hart. DVD on the XFL, a standalone on...
Interesting, though, if they can do it, with considering... That might shed some insight into what the agreement is with Martha and his ability to go in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But I don't want them to do that.
No.
One
man show. Yeah. The legends tell intimate stories on stage.
No, fuck off.
Seriously.
No.
We had Eddie Murphy Raw.
That was great.
That was great. And they're considering releasing all the horse shit on the network, too.
Yeah.
Like Legends House, own the season on DVD.
They should do a week on Owen. That's a good idea.
That would be a great idea. Mm-hmm.
So, the question I got Harvey Turd Man.
Okay. The Turd Man.
Harvey,
beware.
He wishes he had thought of that. But Harvey Turd Man.
Turd.
It was just because we're talking about Jim Ross. How much do you think WWE misses Jim Ross right now? More or less than you expected.
So, okay.
Go ahead.
I'm going to say... I don't really miss him. I do because he's Jim Ross and he's the greatest of all time, right? I mean, so in that vein, you miss him. But I don't long for him. Would I like to see him contribute to the network possibly more? Possibly, but part of it is that they also have, like, just years of his interviews in the can. Like, they use Jim Cornette, for God's sakes. I mean, they're pulling shit out all over the place. So, I mean, they've interviewed Jim Ross for hours and hours and hours and hours to the point where it would be nice to see him on a piano that they have for, like, the SummerSlam. But, I mean, after last year at SummerSlam, I don't think we're going to be seeing that. But, I mean, that would be where I would like to see him, is on these some of these live specials, right?
The thing about him is, do I think they miss him? Oh, yeah, hell yeah. Because it's like, things like that crowd chanting. One of the reasons why they get away with that stuff is because they don't have a guy telling the story to the point to hammer on the points that that need to be hammered on, that don't allow the crowd to take over. You know what I mean? Like, it's the little things. Like, you don't realize how much he's doing and how much he's getting over. How much he's getting over characters and saying little things and understanding the psychology of the match and understanding and building all that stuff that is not obvious that makes the product connect more to the audience, so they don't have to do it for themselves.
I think
it's more than we realize, but it's also, do I feel like I'm missing him? No, because it's been so long, because even before he was fired, he wasn't on my TV.
That's true, but my counter argument to that is that back in...
You know what?
My argument to that...
Okay.
Is that in like 2000...
Like a counterpoint you wanted to say.
What? Okay. Counterpoint, yeah. In like 2003, 2004, let's say, on Raw, people were, you know, Jim Ross doesn't have it anymore. Right? He's become a cliche. It's the animal hat trick. He just keeps going on scalded dog, government mule.
Like, that's because they were dead. Because
the product was shit.
Yeah, and they pulled him back a lot.
So with yes,
he knows what to do if they don't tell him what to do.
But okay, so that's what I'm saying. Now with a product that's not that great, and them controlling people more and more, what are you going to get?
Yeah,
right?
I know.
So do you miss him?
When he was let go, we were like, fuck, they're about to launch a network. I can't believe they've got rid of this guy. They're going to need him.
Yeah.
They don't. Like, I haven't missed him from the network hardly at all. Like, would he be good? Well, sure, he'd be a nice contributor.
Yeah, but I've heard him on the network. I've seen him on the network, and I've seen CM Punk on the network, and I've seen...
But, I mean, I'm talking about things like, you know, in the panels, the pre-show, Raw show.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, all these places, I thought you'd need him, and they haven't.
And you haven't. No, yeah. And that's, you know...
I mean, you know, we talk about wrestling shit, but we talk about... It's like, back in the old days, like, wrestling is never... The wrestlers have never been better. Like, the standard of wrestling has never been better.
I didn't say that.
The storytelling is worse. That's what I was getting to in that Ryback as Ezekiel Jackson. Those guys can go at a
pace.
Or what'd I say?
Ezekiel Jackson.
How did
Jackson.
I possibly make that mistake?
I don't know.
So Big E and Ryback. That's what I'm saying in that one is back in the day, they would have told a better story, but they're not as athletic. They can't do a match as quick and as fast. And like, they're better.
You're saying Langston's the wrestler not is as better. Athletic?
I think he's more athletic. Like, the guys back in the day are not as athletic as Ryback.
Oh, I see.
Like, even Ryback at his size.
Yes.
You know, like, they're able... These guys are actually better wrestlers, but they're not as good storytellers, and that's a different thing.
You don't think Hercules Hernandez is as athletic as...
No, I don't. And he was awful. And his matches, when you watch them now on the network, those are the things you're like, this is painful to watch. Like, you know, when he actually has a match against him against Billy Jack Haynes, you're like, fuck, I'd rather watch Ryback versus Big E.
It's a
way better match. But the psychology isn't as strong. The storytelling isn't as strong. But the wrestlers have never been better. We're talking about... But let's get back to Raw. I mean, have you ever seen, in all the moments of, what the fuck, that's stupid, that makes no sense in the history of Raw, is there anything that makes less sense than only officials are allowed at ringside? So, you know, oh, here's the guest special ring announcer, you know...
Yeah.
And here's the, you know, and here's the guest timekeeper, Randy Orton.
Yeah.
Hey, I got guest color commentators, and then they come out there and it's like, yeah, he could just say that and it makes it. You're Seth Rollins. You're fucking just Seth Rollins. It's, the guy saying that that's like, making all these rules is the COO.
Yes.
You're just a fucking wrestler.
Yes. Exactly.
And I'm like, this is so weak. This is so fucking weak.
Yeah. It is.
And that's the type of shit where I'm like, the match was way better. Batista and him was way better than you expect, and that's largely... Yep. Batista worked hard, and Rollins is awesome.
Rollins is great.
Right? And the crowd was into it, but I'm like, even though I should be just forgetting and enjoying the action, I can't get over the stupidity of what I've just seen to the point where I can't stop yelling at the TV enough to enjoy the actual show. Yeah,
Stone Cold Steve Austin, right? Not that he had any friends, but I mean,
let's PCA.
Just, well, yeah, but let's just say that he, that DX was his friends or something, right? Or let's go Mick Foley.
Sure.
Right? Mick Foley never was able to say when DX was his friends, when he's battling The Rock and the Corporation. Oh, I'm going to have, I'm going to have these guys as commentators. Like, it doesn't make sense. It just doesn't. It didn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make sense.
And it can't make sense, and it won't make sense in any context. And so that just makes it stupid. Now, that said, Dean Ambrose did a great commentary job.
Dean Ambrose was great. He's a great talker.
But
I can't, with this whole segment, losing, like, I can't get back into it.
Yeah.
It's the same thing when I'm watching this John Cena match against Luke Harper. Luke Harper is fucking great.
He is.
He is so terrific. Like, he's the best big man in the industry. Like, I don't know, does he qualify as a big man? What is he, 6'4", 6'5"?
Yeah.
So he's probably the...
For now, he does, though. Yeah. In terms of... But I know what you mean. The best big... Like, he's a...
But he's the best big man in the industry right now.
Yeah.
And he's having... All this would be great, but I'm sitting there watching this match have 4,000 things of interference, and the referee's standing there going, fuck, what should I do? Fuck, what should I do? Well, and then there's one, he goes, fuck, that's it! It's bells ringing!
Well,
after,
no,
like,
the announcer,
5 minutes of
the
interference.
No, but the announcers made the point, they kept driving the point home, is that none of them have touched Cena.
It doesn't matter!
That's the rule. It does. That's
no,
the rule.
That's
yes, it
stupid!
Is. That's the rule, though, and they've
if
never
the match
explained
is thrown
the
out,
rule.
No, that did
that's
not
what
make
happened.
Any... Yeah,
that's
I know that's
happened.
Their logic.
And no, but that's what happened. It's just the fact is, they haven't clued the viewer at home into it, so the only reason I know about it is because I go on,
But even then, to me, that makes no fucking sense. I don't care
well,
if that's
it doesn't make any
it's
sense.
It's a stupid rule.
It's
and I'm watching it again going, this is stupid.
See, A,
there's
it's
no
a stupid
sense
rule,
behind this.
But B,
so I can't enjoy what you're giving me because I can't get over this stupidity. It's just obvious that you can't
And they haven't
you can't
explained.
Change the rules. They change the rules week in, week out on what is
I
and
know.
What isn't.
Yeah.
All the fucking time. And that drives me nuts.
Yes.
How long is an actual injury supposed to put a guy out for? You change it every time. How long? What is supposed to cause a disqualification? You change it every time. It's a guy in the ropes, and the other guy's got his leg on him.
He's
got
to count a five to break it.
Yeah, and so you'll disqualify him for that now? Like, fuck off!
Well,
like,
you're
so inconsistent. And this is the type of shit when we talk about... I'm not even talking about bad storytelling. I'm talking about bad continuity. And you know that's so important.
The continuity is so important. Especially if you want to go all the way.
In the WWE.
In the tag team division.
Okay, so that's rant over.
Okay. Hey, did you hear that Rosa Mendez is going to be in season 3 of Total Divas?
So, should we move on to one of our other Twitter questions, or what are we going to do here?
I actually want to talk about
ROH?
Some of this. I want to talk about some of this business stuff.
Okay.
I want to talk about, because it's something that goes back to something that we've been talking about, oh God, for 3 years maybe now? Actually, really since they announced it, because they announced the plan. We coined the phrase, the cash in the coffers, and how they were going to spend it, right? And we thought that when that money ran out...
You thought.
That is going to be the auspices... Or the need for change, or at least a start, right? Because I mean, they can always fire people, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So and cut some costs, but we're from the Vince McMahon call on Monday. It's something that has been basically something he spoke about is that come Christmas, that the money's gone.
Yeah.
And they're going to open the, not the fiscal 2015, but the calendar year of 2015, for the first time since 1984, owing more money than they have.
Mm-hmm.
So
they can stay in business another 90
billion years. 6 billion years.
6 billion years. You fucking idiot.
No, they can. Of course they can.
Oh, I know. But the thing, I know they're going to have more, they have less money than they owe. So they're in the red. Okay,
I mean,
fine.
They bought
the thing is,
this is how
majority. Yeah, they had to spend $20 million on another jet.
Yeah,
they had to. No, they didn't, but they did. You know,
well, they could. They could. It's not that they had to. It's they could. They did.
Like Stephanie McMahon bought a $10 million house. She didn't have to, but she could. She did.
So they did. Nice house. That's fine.
You know? Yeah. Point well, is, I mean, that was does anybody need a $10 million house? No, but she could. She did. Whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's, okay, so they, oh, they're in the red. This isn't unusual. That's the thing. It's just unusual because WWE hasn't been like this. Businesses are like this all the time.
Oh, sure, sure. This isn't unique to them.
No.
It's just a matter of that it, is it, it's been 30 years.
But this
years
is where, since when they continue to lose money, which I think they're going to continue to do through all of next year, that's where you start. And then you have the investigations that are occurring.
Yeah, those are bullshit, though.
Probably.
Definitely. Yeah. The only way that those are, the only way that those have any validity is if any member of the McMahon family or someone of the on the board of directors sold those stocks at the high.
No, because
oh, please tell me more about the financial industry.
Well, it's not about the financial industry, from my understanding. Well, it is about the financial
industry. It is about the financial industry.
And
even afterwards, though, I'm going to tell you how to sync a commercial.
Yeah. Afterwards, you, here's a, yeah, I know you're the, you work in it, but you're also the guy who went, they can lose $3 million a year, even though they were losing $3 million a month, for the next 30 years.
$6 billion.
No, but my understanding is it's not about them selling it, and that's not the issue. The issue is that they had an opportunity to take a certain amount of money that was offered to them for actually launching the network on a legitimate regular television tier,
yeah,
and they instead turned around and did this. Now, to me, that sounds like a bad business decision.
Yes, but not illegal.
But not illegal. But their theory is you have a fiduciary responsibility to act in the best interest of the company, which is an entity and a person,
right,
and therefore you should have taken that deal and not gone for the risky move. And in doing so, this is where the investigation has its power, is my understanding. Now, bullshit, it sounds like to me, sure. But if that's where they're going, I could see how that could cause trouble for them.
It's not going to cause any trouble for them. All it's going to do is limit the number of investor interactions that they have. That's all it's
going to do. Well, that's the other thing. You're a publicly traded company, and yet they won't release the terms that they're supposed to. They are not necessarily releasing all
they
the
are
details.
They're supposed to release
specific details, and
yes,
they're not. They're very vague about things.
No, what they are is they're walking it. They're taking it to the ninth hour. They're not releasing anything.
Which means it's not good.
Of course, it's not good. We all know it's not good.
Yeah.
So they're not releasing it until they, let's say, they have to. For lack of a better word. They're not doing it until they absolutely have to. And there's nothing wrong with that. And there's nothing illegal about that. And there's nothing even shady about that. It's just, that's what you do when, that's why you release bad news on a Friday. Mm-hmm. Right? On those things. You do it Friday afternoon after the market's closed.
Okay.
So I mean, people do that all the time.
If they're taking to the ninth hour, then that's fine. I mean, well, just it just seems like they're...
But the fact is, again, what they're doing, and the only way that they can get into legal trouble again is in terms of, did they do all this to pump the stock price up for them or someone on the board of directors to benefit?
Yeah.
And that hasn't happened.
That we know of. No, it certainly hasn't. And you know what? Again, but the other question is... The other thing about this is that some of the investors are out there calling for changes. And we're talking about changes at the very top. We're not just talking about changes at the level of the people launching the network
right
that they've already got rid of. We're talking people like Vince.
Sure.
Like, and there's some people that are saying, well, no, he's the only one who's ever been successful. Mm-hmm. There's other people that are saying he's got to go, and Stephanie's got to go, and Hunter's got
to
go.
Well, the important thing there is that, and this is the funny part to me.
Yeah.
Is that... And this is what I've said since they went public.
Yeah.
Okay? This is a vanity stock.
Yep.
You have no voting shares. So investors can call for... I can be an investor and I can be like, you need to change it at the top.
Well, you're right.
Who gives a fuck?
Except for the idea that they can... The investors, if they understand the system well enough, can continue to force that stock price down. And they can do that, and that's their way of having power. We're going to continue to force that stock. Vince McMahon, you're already worth $700 million, and a few months ago, you're worth $1.3 billion. Yeah. So you already lost half your worth, and we're going to drop it down another, you're worth $300 million, which for me would be fine. You know, I could live off that.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're going to keep doing that until you're gone. And that's that's the, where you say they have no power. That is where they actually do, if they know what they're doing. And these people know what they're doing.
No, they don't.
Now,
no, they don't know what they're doing because they don't know who they're dealing with.
Well, that's true. I'll give you that.
So they don't
they understand the system
so ultimately,
how to push it down.
So ultimately, they don't have any power. You can drive the stock down to 30 cents. If the person whose stock you're driving down doesn't give a fuck, it doesn't matter.
Well, Vince McMahon gives a fuck.
And I'm not saying he doesn't give a fuck, but he doesn't. He's not going to give in. I mean,
he's
the last
probably not
going to
give in. He's a very stubborn man.
Yes. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. They have no power.
Yeah.
They have nothing.
Yeah.
They think that they have this magical.
This is not a normal
ability.
Company they're dealing with.
Exactly.
This isn't Disney.
No.
This is Vince fucking McMahon's
exactly.
WWE. That's the thing.
As much as it's a publicly traded company, it's a family controlled entity.
Yeah.
And so there are no voting shares outside of the board of directors.
Yeah.
And Vince McMahon and the McMahon family control the board of directors, and it's always going to be that way. And it hurts Vince's ego. Vince isn't so much pissed that he lost $350 million in a day.
He's pissed that
people are talking about it.
Yeah, exactly.
And going, look, and people are publishing articles about it. That's what pisses him off.
Yeah, yeah.
His public image has suffered.
Yeah.
That's what he cares about.
Yeah,
right?
It's true.
So,
money comes and money goes, like titles.
Yeah, just like titles.
Just like titles.
It's, you know. And
all of this for me, like, they're going to cut, they can cut expenses, they can cut pyro, they can
take
cut,
the water
they can
cooler
cut salary. They, well, yeah, they can. So really, the people I feel sorry for as the company will struggle here financially, the people who are going to get screwed are the unfortunate people who are the hardworking wrestlers who already probably are underpaid and need to fucking unionize.
Yeah. All I know is when I got to work on Friday after they had done the
and you're not underpaid.
Hmm?
You're not hardworking and underpaid.
Am I Bobby Walker? Hardworking Bobby Walker?
You're pugnacious.
Pugnacious. Like Alex Porteau?
Yeah.
Alex the Pug Porteau?
Yeah. Anyways.
What I did was I looked at the... I waited until, I think it was noon our time, to see what the stock was at the day after on Friday morning.
Yeah, I remember you sending me a text going, they're getting fucking killed.
Yeah. Well, the first thing I looked at is I went into the stock, and you know what my first reaction was? As God is my witness, this stock price is broken in half.
You didn't text that, though. You should have.
I should have. I'm saving it for now. But you know what? I think Rosa Mendez being on Total Divas Season 3.
Let's talk about Sting. Sting is actually not under contract, which I didn't understand. I thought he was under a contract, but he's not under a contract. And there's no guarantee he's going to sign a contract. Does that mean that they can't do a DVD? Let's put it this way. They can still do a DVD. Does that mean he's going to be used as a legendary figure or have a match or be around a lot of events? Well, no. But let's keep it this way. He's not under contract. Neither is Mick Foley. Mick Foley will be back. Bret Hart currently isn't under contract
either.
He
didn't re-sign a Legends deal. No,
Bret Hart. So these things aren't completely unusual. But I think it's just a surprise that everybody thought, hey, he's going to sign in. He's going to be here.
The deal was done, yeah. And this also, I mean, let's put this into perspective because he hasn't signed a contract, as you put it, a contract, okay? Yeah. This doesn't mean he's going to go meet with the cunt and sign with TNA, right?
What would he sign there?
Hmm? Then Jerry would sign a contract. But
no, that doesn't mean he's going to TNA. I think it's very unlikely he's going to TNA.
No.
Maybe he's just retired, or like I say, I still think he'll sign something in the WWE. But just a surprise, and it means it's less like the longer this goes on, less likely it'll be a max if he'll ever have. It'll probably just be that Legends contract and whatever.
Yeah, that's true.
Contract.
Langston. You watched ROH.
I did.
Speaking of the WWE news in terms of their television deal and such, ironically, I tuned on my PVR to watch ROH. It was either Sunday night or Monday night. I don't remember. It was the next day. It was on the PVR. Ironically, coming off the heels of a WWE's network deal, soccer was on. So once again, soccer killing wrestling.
It's true.
I guess it went, there was some game on that Fox channel that it was on, and it went long, and so I, the whole time, too. So I literally got no ROH this week. So you'd been watching.
We had Mondays off. Monday off was a statutory holiday within our province here in Calgary.
Yeah.
Beautiful Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
That's right. Isn't it? It was Terra Day, right?
Terra Day? Yeah. It was Terra Day. Yeah.
Yeah, Terra Day.
Terra Day.
Yeah.
We had this. So I watched. I ordered the two ROH pay per views from the previous from that weekend and the previous weekend, which the one in Toronto called Global Wars.
Yes.
Which was tremendous from Toronto. The crowd was great.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things. I mean, I've watched a little bit of New Japan. I haven't watched as much as I probably should have. Because
mm-hmm.
I keep on talking about, like, New Japan is legitimately, and this is where ROH is good on this, New Japan is legitimately easily the second biggest company in the world. I mean, yeah, they're not close to WWE, but they're a big company.
Oh, yeah.
They're much bigger than TNA. So ROH being affiliated with them by that nature actually makes them seem like a much bigger company, too. And especially since they go in there, their guys are as crisp. In fact, the guys are just as charismatic. What's that?
This cap here?
Uh-huh.
Much bigger than TNA.
Well, it's getting that way. But their guys are as big, size-wise, as charismatic, as good wrestlers as this New Japan guys, too.
Yes.
Which came across really big. In fact, if there's anything, I was actually surprised some of these New Japan, they had the Liger and Okada
Yamamoto?
I think so.
Sasaki.
I'm trying. I'm just. It's they're falling.
Kazuchiko? That's actually Tito Santana under a mask. Do you know that?
Kushida? But, anyways, all these guys.
Sneeze.
Okada.
I sneezed and someone. Oh, Kushida.
Watanabe.
Yeah. That's what your mom said when I pulled down my pants.
Tanishi.
Watanabe.
Nakamura. Anyways, these guys are like seen as like top 10 wrestlers in the world.
Your mom
like,
gave me
this
some
guy's like
Nakamura.
Like Hiroshi Tanahashi. Tanahashi, sorry.
Hiroshi Tanahashi.
I've seen him wrestle a couple times in New Japan, but I actually know him better from this, because, just having, American announcers and everything like that were really help. And Steve Corino was great by this. My favorite line was at one point he's in there, I can't remember who it is, I think it was Michael Lennon, and he said, he reminds me of a young me. And Kevin Kelly goes, what do you mean he reminds you of a young me? And Steve Corino goes, the North Korean heavyweight champion, Young Me. <It's
funny. laughs> Nice.
That's fucking great. But the point being that these guys are seen as like the top 10 guys in the world. Like these guys, like what's his name there? I just said, and I'll get it wrong one more
Hiroshi
time.
Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Yeah, thank you, Hiroshi. How do you know?
I'm cultured.
Hiroshi Tanahashi is one like the observer.
Did I watch him? Was that not in the 5-star match that I watched? Remember with the not this past fall, but the fall before?
Yeah, against Okada.
Okada, yeah, there you go. Yeah.
I mean, Okada has been in 5-star matches. Tanahashi's been in a couple 5-star matches. Match of the year. He's won Wrestler of the Year. He's won. And they said that in Japan, he's like incredibly over, and he's the biggest star, gets the loudest reaction. But it's much like John Cena, where it's like part of people hate him, part don't. And he's his girlfriend once stabbed him and almost killed him, nice. Type of deal. Like he's quite the personality.
Hiroshi sucks. Retsuko Hiroshi sucks.
It's the Retsuko part that really you're so proud of yourself. The point being that these guys, if anything, I know that they have jet lag, and especially that first week, and they just come over from Japan or whatever, and they're wrestling in Toronto. But
your mom gave them jet lag.
No, that was herpes. Oh. But they.
After I showed her my Watanabe.
Is that what you're calling it now?
Yeah. So it's undersized.
It's kind of like what a maneuver.
But anyways, these guys, it's actually, I would say that the ROH guys came across as the better performers, the more charismatic, better wrestlers in that setting. And I don't know if it's, and certainly they were over to the crowd like megastars, the Japanese performers. But the ROH guys, it's like, I don't know if it's, part of it could be, like I say, it could be the jet lag, or it could just be the fact that the ring, the ROH ring, is legitimately 2 feet smaller, and that's a much bigger adjustment.
It is, yeah.
Than people realize, especially for performers like this. So, that type of thing. But, yeah.
Now,
I mean,
how
did
AJ Styles do? Because this ring only had four sides.
Well, he was great. Yeah. But the action was great. Like, everything is, the Young Bucks, once again, so close to being the best act in the world. Like, they had the two, both weeks they had the match of the night. You know, they were just unbelievable. And you go out of your way to watch them.
Yeah.
Just incredible Young Bucks here. And same thing, like, you know, Jushin Thunder Liger worked his butt off. I talk about how great Adam Cole was. I was the best talent ever in ROH. Better than Daniel Bryan or CM Punk or Cesaro or any of these guys.
Liger.
He is unbelievable. He had this match against Liger. He's got, his problem is that he's only 24 years old. And he's
Liger?
No. He's twice that. 49. But Cole is just this unbelievable talent. Unfortunately, he's using the figure four, and people have been taught for so long that that's a transition move, that they don't get it as a finisher yet. So he needs to overcome that a little bit. But he's just unbelievable.
Yeah, Flair never beat anybody with that move.
Yeah,
so I don't know why Miz wants it.
But again, great wrestling, and ROH came across great. Definitely worth watching. A lot of momentum. They're about to launch on pay-per-view. It's good.
What is that, June 20-something?
Yeah.
20, I don't know, the calendar in front of me.
And they're, you know, they sold out both nights. They made money. They're profitable. The booking is great. The wrestling is great. The thing I love about this is, for so long, I kept on going, fuck, I just wish want TNA to be successful so I can have an alternative
yeah.
to the WWE. Not that I don't love my WWE, but I want an alternative. And sometimes I'd like something, because there's been times when other things were better and I want something better again. And TNA for a little while was that, and then they got rid of Scott D'Amore, and fuck. You know,
well, in the Aces and Eights, that era.
That era, for a little while, they were
that
better.
That summer, right?
That
they
summer.
Were better, yeah.
They were summer, but you just want that alternative. Okay, TNA's never going to be that alternative. It's pretty obvious now.
That's right.
So
well, they have been
ROH some. Is continuing to build momentum and continuing to get bigger, and it's an alternative. Well, it is a different product than WWE,
and
it's still wrestling, and I can enjoy both, and that's what I want.
Base Brawl, right? The Brooklyn Cyclones.
Yeah.
It's ROH this year. It's
ROH, not
TNA.
TNA. No, and that's usually historically done a big crowd for them.
Yeah.
So
that's,
you know,
usually TNA's biggest house show of the year.
Yeah, working in Northern, is it the New York
it's Brooklyn.
Area?
Yeah, the Brooklyn Cyclones baseball team.
So they're gonna have a big crowd. And they're doing it without a single WWE guy except for Matt Hardy. And Matt Hardy wasn't there for either one of these two shows.
That's right.
So, you know,
well, we were in Canada, right?
Well, yeah, that was one. Yeah, but the other one was in New York and wasn't there. But again, it's all homegrown stars. It's all great talent. And yeah, okay, they're going to lose Steen, it looks like. It looks like Kevin Steen's likely going to WWE. And he should, because you know what? He should be a main event in WWE. He's that good.
Yes.
But
I mean, yeah, you go.
They'll be fine.
You bring back a guy, you lose a Kevin Steen, you bring back a Chris Hero.
Yeah.
Right? You've got him there. Coming in, sipping an apple teeny.
Yeah.
Is Christopher Daniels
and Kazarian,
and he ain't coming alone.
No,
and they couldn't show him because his contract hasn't
technically.
I think
fired.
It's June 5th or something that it comes out, or maybe it's off now and it just wasn't at the show, but at the showtime. But anyway, it looks like Bad Influence is coming in. I mean, so you get Bad Influence, Young Bucks, Bad Influence, Briscoes, you know, Bad Influence. What are their their fucking names? Fish and
Red Dragon.
Red
fuck,
Dragon,
they're great.
Yeah.
Holy fuck.
Yeah.
They're great, too. Not quite as good as the Young Bucks, but
O'Reilly?
Pretty close. Yeah, O'Reilly
Kyle
and Fish.
Kyle O'Reilly and Fish, yeah.
Yeah.
Fish. So, I mean,
like you're going to have great action. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
And I mean,
and the thing is, this IWGP, the New Japan stuff, it's not over. They're going to be doing some more stuff, and it's going to be great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the thing. And it actually harkens back to you talking about an alternative. I mean, it harkens back to the WCW.
It definitely does.
New Japan deal, right?
Yeah, that they, absolutely.
We used to get, I mean, remember that was it 95, the World Cup Starcade?
Yes, yes.
You know, that they had with those things. And,
it's the first time I ever saw Eddie Guerrero. Well, I mean, yes, the first time I ever saw Eddie Guerrero unscramble because I saw... Scrambled.
Scramble Vision, yeah.
Scramble Vision. I saw what was it? Worlds Collide there in AAA.
But. Yeah, but I mean, no. I mean, we had the we always had that.
Yeah,
guys coming and going and things like that. So, I mean, that's where we got the Mudas and the Ligers and such in WCW. So, harkens back to that, and I think it's great that they have a working relationship, and it's a good thing, right? You're right. They are the number two. North American company.
I wouldn't say they are, but I'd say that they're...
I consider them number two. The fact that they're going on pay-per-view on... I mean, they got one show on pay-per-view, but if they can go on pay-per-view four times in the next year, let's say, and they have a regular one-hour show...
Yes.
On television. On my television, when soccer doesn't fucking go on.
Yeah.
I see them every week,
mm-hmm.
right? The only difference is their show's an hour... TNA is 2 hours.
Yeah.
That's it to me.
But the difference is TNA is getting, like, here is the difference. And you know, here's more of an argument. They're drawing 1,500 fans at for this show and 1,800 in New, or 3,000 in New York.
Yeah.
So 1,800 in Toronto, 3,000. So it's 4,800.
Right.
To draw 4,800, you would need about 10 TNA shows.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a month of TNA shows.
It literally is. Yeah. And that, to me... almost puts you at number two right there.
Yeah. I mean, it is. I mean, if your house shows are bigger, your television's there.
So your alternative is out there, guys. And it's people you're going to see in WWE.
They don't have a video game deal.
They don't have a video game deal.
That's it.
But neither has TNA for a while either.
Well, that's true. They've had one. And I think that's... And they're talking about it. They're working on it, right? I mean, merchandising is the only thing that TNA right now has a little bit of an edge on.
Yeah.
But that's it.
Spike TV gives them slightly more visibility, but yeah.
I guess.
But they have a taint.
Not to me.
Listen, like I say, they have a taint about them. ROH doesn't.
Her name is Dixie.
Mm-hmm.
With taint.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And CBS is going to be doing Thursday Night Football starting in...
They're fucked.
Yeah.
They got to move off Thursdays. They're fucked.
Mondays.
And they've actually historically done pretty well, considering, against competition.
They used to, yeah, but not lately.
No, they're really in trouble for
that. Yeah, I mean, when the ratings pattern of TNA can go down as the show goes on.
There's not a... I think there was... Their last two-hour show, there was one quarter that gained.
That bumped a bit,
and seven that dropped.
Yeah. To end in a 0.6 or something for Eric Young, right?
Yeah.
And that's just...
The quarter before that, the one that dropped, and it dropped even more.
Yeah.
Eric Young lost like 38,000, and the one before that lost like 64.
Yeah.
So even though Eric Young went down, but it's not as much as the one before, which was Bully Ray and Dixie. So you can't, like, it's, you know, you own the company. You can't sit there and go, well, it's not fucking me. No, it's you.
Yeah, but no one's going to say that.
No, nobody's going to say that, but I will. Because, and you know, especially when considering it's not just the second to last segment, it's also the on-running storyline for the whole show. She's death to ratings.
She's the whole show. I mean, again, they're going to burn it to the ground, and it's you know. And again, you look at the business of wrestling.
See what Jeff Jarrett does, too. And
it's funny. The business of wrestling is such that ROH is the closest it's ever been to number one.
Mm-hmm.
It's not.
It's not going to ever get to number one.
No, it's not.
But it's got to give us an alternative.
But it's...
I'm telling folks, if you want an alternative, because the WWE, if you're sitting there going, it's shit, or they're sitting there having problems, well, here's ROH. It's good, it's easy, it's very simple to get into because the storylines aren't totally complicated.
Yep.
It's terrific wrestling, and these are guys you're going to see in the WWE, so it'll actually help you get to know them. And it doesn't have all the taint and all the Russo and all the just everything that TNA has that is a negative.
It is. And I mean, I look at ROH and NXT, right? Or like your developmental
system. Yeah, and ROH is better than NXT, and I enjoy NXT, but ROH is better.
Oh, sure. And
it's
it's not. And it's different enough that, because again, it isn't.
And I'm going to check out some more of these, these New Japan pay-per-views, Nakamura and these guys, because Okada and what was the other guy's name? Because you're
learned. Hiroshi Tanahashi.
You're all learned and stuff.
Yeah, Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Yeah.
And Wananabe.
I'm going to check out, I'm even going to check out Dragon Gate, because I heard their last pay-per-view was incredible. So
I did too. I actually did. I heard about a spot, the Ricochet spot. Did you?
Where they're both walking the ropes at the same time towards each other.
You like do a Spanish rope. Fly in the middle.
I don't even know what a Spanish fly is, but it sounds cool.
Hmm? Yeah, I gave one to your mom. Hmm.
You don't have to.
That's true. Hey, speaking of which, did you hear who the company's senior audio producer of TNA who quit on May 19th? You know what his name is?
What?
Jason Seaman. Anyway.
So Seaman had enough of the...
Cunt. Yeah.
I shouldn't even set you up for that.
But I'm glad you did.
And let's just get to our last question we have.
Okay.
From Flick Flurry. Flick Fury, sorry.
Yeah, okay. You get
your Flick phone Fury, who asked, would the WWE... with profits down and the WWE's money gone, would they be doing better financially and be more popular if they had never left the Attitude Era and the more mature content?
Ah, so if they hadn't gone to this PG product, so to speak.
I guess. They had stayed just as hardcore as they were in 1999. Where would they be?
So there's a two-part question to that.
It really is,
financially,
yeah,
they would not be better off.
You don't think?
They would not have Mattel.
So?
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, but if your pay-per-view rates are three times what they are, then...
Yeah. Yeah.
You wouldn't have nearly as much sponsorship. But if you have higher television ratings, if your television rating is still a 4 instead of a 3, if you're...
That doesn't mean anything. It's more viewers. It's more potential people to buy your network, I guess, right?
More people to buy your network. It's also more... Your television deal would have been more.
No, it wouldn't have.
Yeah, it would have
been. No, it wouldn't have.
Yeah.
No.
Because if you're at 4, they could have sold TV advertising for more.
A little bit.
So they would have drawn in a little more.
They would have given a little bit more, but nothing significant.
Yeah, about $30 million, I'm guessing.
Yeah, so that's not significant.
No, not huge, but something. Be that, more people drawing that. The house shows up are a little bit up. Pay-per-views are still up a little bit. House shows are being up. I think, and that's if this wouldn't. It's possible that it would have gone down regardless, because the product still could have been shit, still could have had bad
booking. Well, here's
still could have gotten stale. Yeah.
See, here's the thing. Exactly. But I think you talk about an Attitude Era. They stuck with the Attitude Era too long.
Did they? No, 99 when they got rid of... The end of 99 was when they phased it out. They were still popular
then. No, but they perceived the Attitude... The Attitude Era ended, let's say, 2003, maybe?
Yeah, the Attitude Era did, but they cut back.
HLA and Katie Vick, okay, are the Duke the Dumpster Drossy and the TL Hopper of the Attitude Era.
That's probably true. But they had already cut back, though.
They ran out of ideas with the Attitude Era. I agree. Your thing.
But
so
here's the
if
difference.
You had stuck with it, you would just be having more
I don't think John Cena would have been as annoying if he didn't have to become a VG character. If he could have still sat there and said, because I don't give up, and held up his microphone, and the crowd yelled, fuck. You know, if he had... if he didn't have to say poopy and keep on talking about how it's for kids.
Okay.
All this pandering bullshit, I think, would have helped the John Cena. But the guy I'm looking at who I'm like, oh, fuck, if they had never gone to PG and he could have been himself, really himself? How big a star could have a CM Punk?
Sheamus? Oh, CM Punk.
Could CM Punk have been 50% bigger star? Could he have gotten closer to the level of, you know, a Mick Foley or The Rock or Austin if he didn't have to the... limitations of
well
PG.
I mean, he would have been a closer star if more people had been watching, more people would be aware of him, sure.
Yeah.
Right, but I mean, is okay, let's look before his comeback.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how big of a star was Shawn Michaels?
About the level, not as big as John Cena, put it that way.
And Shawn Michaels beat Bret Hart, who was in this new generation.
Yes.
The rock and wrestling, the prolonging of the rock and wrestling was this new generation.
Yeah.
Right? There's this kid, PG, said Who, T.L. Hopper, Duke the Dumpsters, all those goons, all that
even
stuff.
Even what they would do
on,
with a,
right?
with a, even the things they would do with a Bret Hart, especially, you know, Diesel, when they make him champion, to soften him, having him
sure.
show up at a school kid's thing. And
going up the elevator, yeah, with yeah. looking like he's got the
vignette.
The gun. And he's
and we'll
got,
talk more about vignettes next
but,
week.
Yes, but Shawn Michaels, a star, a wrestling star, but how much
he will be a star?
He is going to be a star, but he beat Bret Hart.
Yeah,
and so while he was a star, all right, he wasn't that great. CM Punk comes along and is in the hangover of the Attitude Era, just like the new generation was a hangover of rock and wrestling. If he's in this era, whatever the fuck you want to call it,
yeah,
he's a star, but he's not a bigger star.
Yeah, I think he would have had a better chance to be.
He'd have a better chance if you're drawing fours versus 2.6s.
Yeah,
and a million and a half more people every week are tuning in to watch.
I think
the
he's
program.
The guy I could have looked at. I think he could have led to the next boom. More likely, if he hadn't had the constraints of a PG, I don't think John Cena still could have. John Cena, maybe I don't think he would have gotten booed quite as much, but he still would have been. He's still John Cena cutting his thinks he's the Rock promos.
Yes, that's you know? The problem. Exactly. That's the. I mean, part of it is this. Yeah, he would have still been. Yeah, looked at a as a Rock ripoff, Rock light.
When he's cutting promos yeah. like that, yeah, because they still would have scripted that, but it would have been, I think, not quite as hated. But the same thing. I think CM Punk's chance to be the next boom character that brings people back in would have been stronger. That said,
nope.
I think it's about a wash, personally. I think if they don't ever change, I think I probably find the product slightly more entertaining.
Yeah.
So I think the whole PG thing is kind of stupid. And let's face it, they're even pushing those boundaries now. But
they're going to push them as far as they can go.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to, you shouldn't go sleazy and adult just to go it. But you also
HLA.
Shouldn't. Yeah, exactly. But you also shouldn't restrict your storylines. Well, even TNA having blood every other segment for a while there when
sure.
Hogan was there to try and be more adult, a lot of swearing or whatever too,
yeah.
right? Like it wasn't organic. It was just to be like that. But you shouldn't have constraints in your storylines. So I think that would help their storylines.
Whether it's PG,
but
whether it's,
I think it's a wash.
Whether it's PG,
I still think they're about where they are.
Or it's TV-14. At the end of the day, somebody's taking a pedigree, and it's not going to matter. And it's
there's something to that.
It doesn't, like you said, the show might be more, slightly more entertaining. I don't think so, because again, I think they're going to look and say, we've never had a bartending wrestler. We've never had a this guy or a that guy. You know
well,
what I mean?
Another place it might have really helped them is if they didn't ever go PG and they let ECW be a little closer, maybe. But they still probably would have fucked with Heyman. Vince McMahon probably still would have argued with Heyman on every creative decision. But yeah, I mean Kelly coming in and being an exhibitionist, they cut that off pretty quickly because it was too risque, and they. That they didn't let that ECW be risque enough. And again, that's where I was hoping that would just be an alternative within their own product, but it never was.
No, that's right. And I don't
it became less and less, you know, within a few months.
And as I said, I mean
WWECW.
I looked at WrestleMania 30. Right?
Yeah.
Again, I enjoyed WrestleMania. I enjoyed the build for WrestleMania. When WrestleMania's bell time was coming, I was excited to watch
yeah.
WrestleMania, right? And that's all within a PG environment.
Yeah, right? Sure.
So, again,
of course. Then again, I can't stand it. I have a Hell in a Cell every single time without blood. It's just
yeah.
not realistic.
You
shouldn't limit it.
You do need to make sense.
Yeah,
yeah. It should make a little more sense.
Which they rarely
do. If you're going to go on your network,
yeah.
right? With Heck in the Sack here, you might as well have some blood on it,
exactly.
right? I mean. Who cares? And I mean, that's the interesting thing with Vince McMahon on Monday, talking about how they're going into 2015 and with their projections is $0 from pay-per-view.
Zero.
They're going so
they're not worried about pissing off. They're worried about pissing off Mattel, though.
Yeah, they are.
You know, they got pissed when Daniel Bryan choked Justin Roberts.
The tie, exactly.
So I mean, but blood's not as bad. It's funny because you know the one thing that's normally accepted in society in America, a little bit swearing, never nudity or sex. But violence.
Violence for the sake of violence.
All right, let's get the fuck out of here.
Okay.
This room is hot.
It is. It's hot. What about, do we give a fuck about NXT TakeOver?
We'll probably give it a review next week, put it that way. But I don't think we
can. Yeah, because we're going to watch it next week, right?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
So.
And thanks to everybody who was on for our first ever piano last week, to Jeff Cassidy and Steven.
Who?
Tyler.
Tyler. Oh, Tyler! Yeah, thanks, Tyler. What a good guy.
We appreciate it. We appreciate it.
We do. We do. He's from Miami, isn't he? Tyler?
No, that was Jeff.
Jeff, oh. I thought Jeff was a dick from Edmonton.
Did you run into a guy named Jeff Lee there in Miami?
In Miami? Yeah, Black Jeff.
Yeah.
But, no, I thought that, for some reason, I thought Stephen, big fan of the Miami Heat.
I think he is, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Mostly because they're Latino, I think, right?
Probably.
Latino Heat.
Latino Heat, yeah.
All right. WeTalkWrestling.com. WeTalkWrestling.com is the website. We're on iTunes, by the way. Push that iTunes. Go subscribe and put a comment in about how much you love our show, because we'll
come and beat you up.
Part of what happened, and I'll shoot with you guys, is when we changed over the server, all those comments lost on iTunes.
Shoot with them.
Just saying. So they're all gone. So, yeah,
we're no longer the top five.
We want them back.
We're no longer the top five. Like we should be.
We're in the top 25 now because of that. And so if it's within your power to do so, we would very much appreciate you helping us out with that as a loyal listener of the We Talk Wrestling Army
and shit.
At We Talk Wrestling on Twitter. Got a lot of new Twitter followers, so we thank each and every one of them.
Yeah. Well, not that one guy.
Right.
Fuck him.
Jeff. But we're also Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling. I actually had some people like us and join us on Facebook for the conversation, cool. Which is cool. We're also on Stitcher. We're on a couple of these things. The TuneIn Radio app,
We're putting ourselves in a few other podcast directories out there. We'll see. Hopefully people find us. Other than that, I think we're OUT, aren't we?
I think that's going to do it. Yeah. So I said WeTalkWrestling.com, of course. I think I mentioned
Addie.
At WeTalkWrestling.com.
Is where these questions that you're sending us come to.
Yes, which is
excellent. Twitter. Or maybe a comment.
Right.
Don't forget to hit those social media buttons at the bottom of the posts. Share our product.
Pizzos.
It's free for you.
Yeah.
We're good fucking people.
It's free for you, cheap for us.
Well, like your mom?
Mm-hmm. Free for everyone. So, in the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
Your mom's been charging me.
Really? You're the one. She charges by the pound.
It's a lot.
A lot.